bitch about. So easy. You gotta put it in perspective.
It's Friday, Friday. Gotta get down on Friday. Everybody's looking forward to the weekend, weekend.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
Welcome back to Dancing with the Stars. Before the break, Mike and Lacey danced a foxtrot.
Ladies and gentlemen, the judges' scores. Carrie Ann Inaba.
5.
Len Goodman.
4.
Bruno Tognoli.
4.
All right, that's 13 out of 30. Ew.
13 is not high, but it's better than my father, Master P, so I figure, like, I've done something to improve.
I know you don't smoke weed. I know this. But I'm gonna get you high today. Because it's Friday, you ain't got no job, and you ain't got shit to do.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Taco Zulu!
Don't bogart that joint. My friend, pass it over to me.
Is there a word that means more than yes?
Roll another one.
I'm not the biggest rocket.
Just like the other one.
My taste buds is going wild.
This one seems to be about to quit.
Open wide for Chunky.
I need another hit.
It's our time to shine. 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 It's our time to shine.
Let's shine. Yes, I love you.
Roll. Roll another one.
Rock and roll, hoochie coo.
Just like the other one.
Yeah, right. Yeah, right.
This one seems to be about.
Justification whatsoever for what you're doing.
But don't bogart that joint. Just pass it around.
What if your name was Asshore?
But don't bogart that joint, my friend.
Please, Kevin, not in the face.
But just pass it on down.
And now.
What it is this.
Our feature presentation.
There's a friend of ours asking that question, what if your name was Asshore? And mm-hmm. I, for the life of me, can't figure out the creation of that question. I mean, like, what was going on at the time where he said, I'm going to form this question?
Maybe he had just come from an appointment with a special lady.
Right. But then do you change your name?
No, but I think he had that. He had something involving the words ass and whore on his mind already, perhaps.
All right, that makes a little sense. Other than that, I couldn't figure it out.
Who the hell knows? Hey, welcome to the Kevin Bean Show. First of all, it is the 25th of March, or Brown Chicken Brown Cow, as Trace Atkins would call it. Before we get started, Beer Mug, did you almost die? What happened?
Yeah, it was.
You know, I love death.
Yeah, it was a little wet out on the roads here.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, my God, it's raining!
Yeah, and I almost took it right into the center median. Took my car right into the center median, but I avoided it.
Did you start, what do you call it, when you're on the top of the water?
Hydroplaning. And my instincts kicked in, and I let my foot off the gas, and I gained control.
Wow, this is the first time his instincts kicked in, and that helped.
In retrospect, were you going too fast, or was it just a pocket of water that you couldn't have known was going to be trouble for you when you hit it?
I was going the speed limit, 65, and it was just a pocket of water that just took my car out of control.
Yeah, so that speed limit is designed for sunny, dry conditions.
Okay, so I'll go about 10 below next time.
Yes.
Well, I mean, you got to feel it, you know, feel it out, see what you think. I mean, sometimes it seems like it's all right. I guess it depends on the road, but yeah, that's a bad surprise. How close did you come to hitting the median?
Enough to get my heart racing, pretty much.
All right. Yeah. So it scared you to death?
Yeah.
Yeah, Muggs was a mess when he started this morning. He you could tell he was distraught.
Yeah, when something like that happens, you go, you know what, another inch and I could be possibly dead.
Yes.
It makes you rethink what you're doing.
It does, and this job isn't worth dying for, to get up in the morning and drive to.
Well, I don't think any job is worth dying for. So, but our advice is still the same, which is when it's bad weather, you have to speed up because that way you're on the road for a shorter amount of time.
Nora, you've heard our theory before on that, right? Does that make sense to you as a traffic reporter?
None whatsoever.
So the worst... Well, you're new. You don't know. So the
Oh, you want people to be on the roads longer when the weather's bad. That's what you're saying? That makes sense to you?
Yes.
Clogging up traffic.
Women.
We're saying get on, get off, and then boom, you're out. You really have to, like, double the speed limit. Maybe triple.
You should be going at least 130 today.
That's correct.
Yes.
All right. Speaking of near death. You guys might have seen this story, but I find it fascinating. I can't imagine there are many tougher jobs, more stressful jobs than being an air traffic controller. And what little I know about air traffic controlling is from that Billy Bob Thornton movie.
Sure.
What was it called? Pushing 10. That's what I learned most of what I know about air traffic controllers. But let's talk about a stressful job where every decision you make, you could cause a plane to come down and hundreds of people would perish based on your bad information, right? Yeah. So the story that has broken big that everybody's talking about this week is overnight at Reagan National Airport in Washington, D.C., they have one air traffic controller. It's not a busy time of night. They don't have any departures going overnight, and they have very few incoming planes. So they have one guy, always a supervisor, and he fell asleep this week for about a half an hour. He fell asleep being an air traffic controller.
Well, I think that's also good because then he's fresh when the planes start coming.
Well, unfortunately, Kevin, the planes started coming.
Oh.
American Airlines Flight 1012 was on final approach to the airport just after midnight Wednesday and were unable to get anyone to respond to them on the tower. And a few minutes after that, another plane, United Airlines Flight 628 from Chicago, had the same experience. About 15 minutes later, they couldn't get anyone to go from the tower. Now, apparently, pilots are trained to land without any air traffic controller assistance. And apparently, on many smaller airports around the country, there is no air traffic controller. And you have a procedure where you announce where you are and how high you are and what you plan to do. And you just kind of give a heads up to everyone around you and then, you know, keep your eyes peeled for other planes.
You use the radio to warn other planes that you're coming in.
Right.
All right.
But you know, there are National Transportation Safety Board is concerned that they have one air traffic controller at this airport and he's asleep. So they suspended him, you know, upon review, and now they have a new policy where they have to have a second guy overnight at that airport. But now we find out that there are 30 other large airports around the country where they have one guy working. And I don't know. It seems like that's the kind of job you need a backup for.
Well, it certainly seems like it's important enough that if anything happens, you know, you maybe have to throw up. What do? Seriously,
yeah. Or you get locked out. You go outside to smoke, you get locked out of the room or something.
That'd be so great. He's out there with those little flashlights with the red cones on him going, no, can't get in.
So, I don't know. It's just you don't often hear air traffic controller and asleep in the same sentence. But I thought it was fairly interesting to see something like that happen at such a major airport. So there's going to be a lot of reviewing of policy and, I don't know, probably a lot of no-dos in the vending machines at airports, air traffic control places all over the country now.
Look, I know that the majority of air traffic controllers are sharp. They're on it.
They got to be.
Right. But I also have to believe that this happens more than we know.
Well, that's possible, too.
You know, maybe a plane didn't land right then or something. Maybe the pilot's voice woke him up or whatever. It has to be true. They don't want to put it out, you know, put it out there to us. But
I've heard stories of pilots falling asleep too. Pilots of major airplanes that are falling asleep too. And then they have I guess when they get to a certain point in what's supposed to be the descent, they do have all sorts of bells and alarms and whatnot that goes off to wake you up. But yeah, I mean, hey, we're just human.
Yeah,
people fall asleep doing all sorts of crazy things.
All right, good times. So let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
I'm very disappointed to see the Badgers lose last night in the NCAA tournament, by the way. I thought maybe this could have been introduced this year as their theme song.
You don't think this has the strength to stand on its own?
I think it does, but wouldn't it be awesome if it were also a rallying cry for University of Wisconsin fans all over the country?
That would be funny, and the announcers would start singing it.
Anyway, it's another Badgerific day on the Kevin and Bean Show.
On today's program, it is Friday, so Ralph will take a look at the movie beat, tell you about all the new movies in the theaters. The only one that we care about seriously is Sucker Punch, though, because what's going on with that?
Yeah, that does look awesome.
What's happening there? Emily Browning is the star of that. She will be in studio talking about Sucker Punch. Very excited about that. And the other movie that we really care about is Peep World, because Michael C. Hall is going to be on the program.
There you go.
That is, of course, the guy that plays Dexter, for those of you that didn't know.
I don't know what Peep World is about. I like the title, and I like the potential of what it could be about. But I bet that's not it.
a little divey, crappy-looking place in Times Square that sells X-rated material? Is that what you picture?
No, what? I hadn't thought about that.
No. I hadn't thought about that. What else is there?
Well, I was thinking, you know, I was thinking of a higher-end peep show, perhaps. Not a specific location in Times Square.
All right. Petros Papadakis will be here. Tell us all about March Madness and other sports. And
big night last night. Big night. Did you watch any of it, Kevin?
The NCAA? No, I didn't. You know why? Well, Los Angeles Kings will not let me rest.
Because they're playing all the damn time and every game counts.
Let me sleep.
Well, Duke got destroyed. The current national champion got destroyed by the University of Arizona.
Love it.
The only thing I would have bet my paycheck on in this tournament was that Duke would not lose to Arizona. Yeah. So that's another reason why March Madness is awesome, because anything can happen any night.
It's always good, too, because in your wildest dreams, you think, well, maybe we could knock them off, you know, Arizona. Maybe we could knock off Duke. Maybe we could beat them. But putting money on destroying, that's ridiculous.
Yeah, crazy.
Love it. Mark Cuban will be on the program today.
Wow.
He, of course, is the owner of the Dallas Mavericks.
Mm-hmm.
And he's got a TV show called Shark Tank.
And an actual billionaire. We don't get very many of those on the program.
That's true. And a little crazy, if you ask me. Actual crazy billionaire. And he also is talking about giving Charlie Sheen a TV show.
Well, even smart guys make mistakes.
Man, you can't be 100%, right? So that's coming up. And we got LaQuisha on last night's Jersey Shore. Very sad. I know you're sad as well, Bean, that the season finale has hit, and now we
whatever am I going to do without that show?
Well played. The Showbiz Beat is 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ.
What are the numbers?
I don't know. I do sound drunk all the time.
What's
now.
What's the summer?
It's K-Rock, and it's 549.
Too many papers.
What happened?
Well, I don't know.
I don't know. We're losing count.
I had a headache with...
Yeah, it was a cluster migraine with a stroke on the side.
Right.
Hold the mayo.
Right, exactly.
Ralph Garman, did you hear the tape I was playing yesterday from the Canadian reporter who had a similar incident that Kevin claimed was not the case? He said, oh, that guy just screwed up. And they're making excuses for him.
Absolutely agree with Kevin.
Come on!
No, that guy just had a verbal free fall. That's all that happened. Because you could tell he kept going back and saying the wrong word and
you
stuff.
You could tell what he meant.
Exactly.
And you could hear the words.
It was very different than that poor girl who just descended into gibberish. It was not
I don't think it was... I think it was a similar brain event. Hers destroyed all of the words. His just made it hard for him to think of the words and put them in the wrong order. But, I mean, he is struggling. And I only played a little bit of it. He's struggling for like 45 seconds. He cannot reset himself, which is another reason that leads me to believe that he could have no control over it.
Yeah. Been there, done that. Play a 2 or 3 minutes of Kevin doing that. Only 45 seconds.
Here's
nothing.
The thing. Everybody, it depends on the person. If you want to cut them some slack, you go, well, you know, maybe he had a problem. But then with me, you don't want to. It's just like Obama in Gitmo, you know. President Bush, he said President Bush had it open, and he's like, oh, we've got to close it. Now he's the president, he keeps it open. Everybody goes, well, he needs to. They give him the benefit of the doubt, and I'm saying I don't get that benefit.
Right, but I've got years to shape my opinion on what's going on with you. I don't have any opinion on this guy. I've never heard of this guy before I heard the tape, so I don't have any reason to give him the benefit of the doubt. I'm just basing it on the tape that I saw, which is that he is having an event that he cannot get out of.
Yeah, if someone accidentally walks out of a store with a piece of merchandise, you say, "Oh, that's not a shoplifter. He just had a brain fart and just walked out, and he gives the item back, and no problem." If there's a guy who keeps going to prison over and over again for armed robbery, you've sort of set up a pattern of behavior that I think could be used against him in
a
court of law.
You were on my side for a second, weren't you?
About that one event, but not about you getting slack, because you are a recidivist. That's what I'm saying. You are a recurrent criminal.
When I
going to
stay out of jail?
Exactly.
All right.
All right, it is Friday on the Kevin and Bean Show. We're going to talk to a guy coming up after the top of the hour who will tell us for reals that half of the people walking around on the earth today could become zombies. They've got a parasite in their brain that could turn them into zombies. He's not kidding. We'll explore that when we return on the Kevin and Bean Show right after Ralph's Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
Before I get to Showbiz News, how about some passes to the Kevin and Bean advanced screening of Source Code? Brand new thriller starring Jake Gyllenhaal happens at the Block of Orange on Wednesday, March the 30th. If you'd like to go, call right now, 1-800-520-1067. First three callers will get a pair of passes. And if you don't win, don't worry, because it's in theaters everywhere Friday, April the 1st. But if you'd like to go to the very special advanced screening, please call now. Love to have you. Looks like the Westboro Baptist Church won't be able to protest at Elizabeth Taylor's funeral after all. They had it yesterday. Boom. Burn.
How about that?
Sucker. Jive turkeys. That's what they said to them.
I'm not sure that's coming back. Despite your best efforts.
Absolutely is coming back.
Jive turkey? All right.
They had it at the Forest Lawn Cemetery in Glendale, California. She was buried in the Great Mausoleum. It's right next to the Good Mausoleum, and then there's sort of the mediocre mausoleum right on the end.
Now, I didn't realize that Miss Taylor was Jewish at the end, Ralph, and I guess that's why they were in such a rush to get her in the ground as fast as possible.
I did not know that she was Jewish at the end either. Either end. I had no idea. John Wayne, Sammy Davis Jr., Michael Jackson were all her neighbors now. They all live right in the same neighborhood where she was laid to rest. Clark Gable, Jimmy Stewart. It's a good neighborhood.
Wow. No kidding.
Liz asked in her will, by the way, that she be carried into the funeral 15 minutes late to make a big arrival. She literally wanted to be late for her own funeral, source said.
Love it.
And apparently tonight, the lights on Broadway will be dimmed for 1 minute in tribute to Liz Taylor. She, of course, won a Best Actress Tony for her Broadway performance in Lillian Hellman's The Little Foxes. I'll tell you that, Kevin. And she also appeared on Broadway in Private Lives with her ex-husband, Richard Burton. And at the Abbey, the gay bar in West Hollywood, where Liz would frequent at the last days of her life, they are doing a special little memorial tonight as well. So, Kevin, maybe you want to head over there with me. We'll go over to the Abbey, get a
Absolutely.
Couple of apple teenies.
There
what
you
do
go.
You wear your assless chaps.
How did you know my drink was an apple teeny?
Well, because you look like that kind of guy.
They have an Elizabeth Taylor room there, Kevin. It's perfect for you.
Right?
How do you know about the Elizabeth Taylor room at the Abbey, Bean? What? How did that happen?
I like to stay current.
You're making that up, though.
No, they know. They have a room that's named after her that has a giant oil painting on the wall of Elizabeth Taylor.
Thank you, Mr. Know-It-All.
Sounds like someone's seen it with their own eyes. That's all I'm saying.
It was kind of cool that an old-time movie star like Liz Taylor would just wheel into the Abbey and drink with all the boys in West Hollywood. She was a good time. She was a party on wheels, that Liz.
Not so much at the end, but before that. Yeah.
We all do what we can.
Sure.
Charlie Sheen may have dodged a bullet. He was invited by his soon-to-be ex-wife, Brooke Mueller, to come to the birthday party of their twin sons last week. She begged him to come, actually. Charlie apparently thought this was strange, considering the restraining order she had placed against him. So he decided to pass going to the party, and it turns out he may have been right in his decision. Apparently, Brooke was taking photos at the party and then sold them to the tabloids. And she was promised a lot more money if she could get Charlie to show up to the party.
Wow.
Take the pictures and then sell them to the tabloids. So it's nice to see Brooke is still using her best maternal instincts to make money off of her children's birthday party.
That's ugly.
And here I was thinking she was putting their differences aside so that the kids would have a nice birthday with their parents.
Nope.
Unbelievable.
She was setting up a big payday. She could get Charlie to come to the party, sell those pictures to the tabloid. She was promised a lot more money than just the regular photos.
She could wait with the kids outside his front door and just wait for him to open the door and go, stop. All right, we got it.
She's going to get a big cardboard box and put a stick on it. And then when he goes to see the kids, she's going to pull the stick out and the box comes down and boom, he's trapped. See American Idol last night, Bean?
Oh, what a show.
How do you like your wolf now? How do you like your wolf man now? Yeah.
Kevin, you remember yesterday we were talking about my guy Casey Abrams, who I called to win the whole thing. He was eliminated last night.
Wow, nice.
And then the judges used their once-a-season power to bring him back, to overrule America and say, no, you stay. But it was unbelievably emotional. I was telling Kevin before you came in, Ralph, they must have hit the dump button 12 times last night on American Idol with all the swearing that was going on, from the excitement that was happening.
Yeah, he was strafing some F-bombs there up there on the stage.
You mean like, I can't effing believe it?
Yeah, he couldn't believe that he was still in the competition.
I thought he was going to vomit, didn't you?
Yeah.
He started to shake and retch, and I thought, oh, this is going to be the first American Idol vomit.
It was a crazy show. And how does Hulk Hogan end up on American Idol in any circumstances?
Yeah, the Hulkster. That's why American Idol is the hit that it is, because it really captures the zeitgeist of America in the moment.
Right.
And what could be hotter than Hulk Hogan coming out?
What song did Wolfman play?
Heard It Through the Grapevine.
Heard It Through the Grapevine, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep, don't need to hear that.
But you know, you get that moment where you can sing for the judges after you've been eliminated, they could bring you back. He started to sing, and they just waved him off. He said, don't even bother. We've already decided that we're bringing you back in the competition. So.
Sweet.
He was surprised. Stevie Wonder also showed up on the show last night to sing Happy Birthday to Steven Tyler. It was a very strange show. It was like a birthday party, and then Hulk Hogan came out and ripped his shirt and said Hulkamaniacs and stuff. It was like the Nickelodeon Awards from 1987 or something. It's all very strange.
It's almost like they were just padding or stretching it out for some
really?
Reason.
Really? Filling, yeah. If you will.
Filling, maybe.
Congratulations to the cast and crew over at one of my favorite TV shows, Fringe. Fox has picked up the science fiction thriller for yet another season.
Fantastic.
Oh, how good has that show been this year?
I'm a couple behind, but I was watching again last night. I was like, this is so great.
Oh, tonight, you got to catch up, because tonight I think Folivia has her baby from Peter in the other universe. This show's been so good. And I wish more people would watch it. The ratings haven't been great, but Fox believes in it, so they're giving it another chance.
I was really happy to see that, too, because I know that it has been right on the bubble.
Yeah. And Comedy Central has announced they're picking up a seventh season of the animated series Futurama. Did anyone have any idea that Futurama was still on television?
No.
That's the Matt Groening show. Of course, he gave us The Simpsons. This is the futuristic show that he did, and I thought it was long gone.
I remember when it left the network, whatever, Fox, I guess it was, and then it went over to Comedy Central, but I had no idea they were still making new episodes. I thought they were just running reruns over there.
As did I, Bean. As did I. Take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Movie critic Gene Shalit, who has been a movie critic since movies were invented.
Yeah,
I think,
before.
I think he reviewed the very first film that Thomas Edison cranked out of his lab there in Menlo Park, New York. He's 85 years old.
And what a mustache.
Oh, what a great stash he's got.
Mustache practically goes ear to ear on that guy.
Go see Sea of Love. You'll see it and love it. See?
Spinach. He's so annoying.
He is the king of the pun, that Gene Shalit. Aretha Franklin, 69 years old today.
Wow.
Musician Elton John celebrates his 64th birthday. Marcia Cross from Desperate Housewives is 49. Sarah Jessica Parker is 46 years old. That's only 23 in horse years, though, so yeah. she's still young. Lee Pace, the actor who was the star of Pushing Daisies, a sadly canceled TV series, is 32 years old. And speaking of American Idol, Catherine McPhee.
Oh, there you go.
The McPhever. She is 27 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
Lovely actress Emily Browning joining us on the program today, talking about her film Sucker Punch. Also, Michael C. Hall from Peep World. Petros talks about last night's NCAA action with a preview of the weekend, too. And, of course, LaQuisha reviews last night's Jersey Shore. It is Friday on the Kevin and Bean Show. I never thought, of all the places in the world, Kevin, that you would find yourself this week. The Dancing with the Stars rehearsal studio would be on that list. Have you ever been to a place you felt like you deserved to be less?
Yeah, I've been to a lot of places where I shouldn't be, but this is certainly one of them, and I didn't see it coming either, but Psycho Mike needed my help, and when he calls me, he's my brother, you know.
Wait, Psycho Mike needed your help? He contacted you to help him with his dance? He's got he's got Lacey Schwimmer, a professional dancer, helping him on the show.
That takes him 90% of the way. Okay, good. I couldn't take him 90% of the way, but I can take him that last 10.
You bring the extras. You can go to kevinabean.com right now and you can see the post. Now, Kevin, your theory is that Lacey Schwimmer in week one last week, she danced a perfect 30, but Psycho Mike had a negative 17.
Correct.
And that's why as a couple, they ended up getting only a 13 on the show.
I'm just guessing at that. I don't know how they do the judging or anything, but she's great, and he was bad, admittedly.
Right. He'll be the first to admit it, right? And you go on further to suggest that it was a setup, that he was lowering America's expectations so that now, even if he just does okay, everybody's going to go, wow, he's so much better.
Exactly. You do see, the first episode of the show, I guess they don't vote anyone off, so you can be as bad as possible and you don't get voted off. So now if he comes back and just doesn't drool, you know, the judges are going to go, whoa, well done.
Brilliant.
You made great progress. Good job. So that's what I'm making up. He was really, he was terrible last week. But I went down to the dance studio and we rehearsed a little. I mean, I brought some of his dance moves to life, and Psycho Mike does them. This is me, and I'm there at the dance studio with Lacey Schwimmer, his partner, and Psycho Mike, and I'm asking just exactly what's going on Monday night.
What do you have to do this week? What's your dance?
The jive.
The jive.
Very energetic.
Okay, that's good.
A lot of kicks, a lot of jumps.
All right, yeah. You can do that.
I think so.
But here's the thing. If you get like halfway through and you feel like, you know, maybe you're losing the judges.
Okay.
I say just say and just go freestyle. I say just do it. What are they going to do? You'll win them over. This is how it always happens. You start dancing, you do freestyle. Right. Everybody goes, wow, what's he doing?
Uh-huh.
And by the end, they're all cheering.
All right, so I had a list of freestyle moves now. This is just a break glass in case of emergency. That's what this is.
Do they do any, Nora, you might know, I don't watch the show. Do they do any kind of freestyle dancing on the show at all, or is that strictly forbidden?
You know, I hope they don't. I've never
seen... Are you crazy?
I'm voting no freestyle.
Are you crazy?
Well, let's see what Kevin's come up with for Mike. It's going to help him stand out from the crowd.
Do you have any ideas of, like, how I can...
I have a list.
Get started, man. Just get flowing.
All right, Mike, let's see the pull-up. Shopping cart.
Shopping cart. And then it's here.
Lacey, you're a little slow on this one. I'm sorry. You're going to have to keep up. All right, tarmac. Give us the tarmac.
Okay, here comes the plane.
Now it's a lawnmower.
Now Mike is doing dances to each one where it looks like he's guiding a plane in for a tarmac and he's pushing a shopping cart.
No, they're fantastic dances, but I'm confused about one thing because I'm not a professional dancer like you are. Why is Beer Mug providing the music by playing a keyboard while he's shirtless? Why does Muggs have to take his shirt off? He's not dancing.
It's hard to explain genius, but when we got there, it did seem funnier to have Beer Mug without a shirt on. And by the way, what you can't see, I don't think, Bean, you can't see that he's sitting right in front of a giant sound system that we could have used for music. So Beer Mugs is playing that music, and then Psycho Mike is going through the dance routines, and if things get rough on Monday night, I think you might see some of these.
Feel my balls shake.
Lacey, come on, keep up. The tornado. Yeah. Mime in a box.
Whose box, Lacey's?
So you got that going on. So we worked through a whole routine like that. And then there's actually four videos on here. The first one is Psycho Mike practicing these dances. The picture.
If you haven't lived, by the way, until you've seen Kevin's new dance, the Charlie Sheen that Mike performs. I think you're going to enjoy that very much. You got to go to kevinandbean.com and see that.
I sprung that on him because we've never talked about that before. I was like, do the Charlie Sheen just to see what he would do. And that's where the photo came from, Bean. See the photo at the top where he's,
yes.
He's allegedly snorting something?
Right.
So he goes, winning, which is really funny. So we got that. And then you have to click to part two. He talks about the bamboo underwear that he's wearing.
Yeah, I've heard about that. That's supposed to help him breathe better down there?
I don't know. It's just a friend of his that came up with the idea. I have no idea if they're any better or any worse.
Okay.
And then at the very... let me see what clip this is.
All right, do you feel me on that?
Yeah. I'm starting to feel good.
So are you cool with that?
I feel more confident than I was last week.
If you feel like you're losing the judge, you just go, Mike.
Yeah. No, I think I have to be cool with it.
You know what I mean? It's like setting LeBron James free. You just go, look, we got a team thing.
I trust you guys, you know?
You should because of our track record.
Never felt so free on the
dance
floor.
That's what I'm talking about.
All right, so that was from the original video. Then you click through to part two. And then you click through to part three, but you have to click through to part four because part four, and there's just more of him explaining what's going on and stuff. Part four is Lacey starts to get him to warm up. Psycho Mike's laying on his back and he's raising his pelvis in the air. And then she does what really she should do. I mean, this is her responsibility as a human being. He's doing that and she wrecks him in the balls like I've never seen. It's awesome. It should be in the next Jackass movie.
Yep.
And he's just rolling around on the floor like holding the family jewels. It was
so
sweet.
She just smacks him as hard as possible right in the gonads?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Oh, it was so good. It's such a great direct shot. So anyway, I think this is going to work. I think Monday night when he's back on the show, Dancing with the Stars, if he breaks out some of these dances...
I would love it so much if I'm watching Mike and Dancing with the Stars and all of a sudden he gives up in the jive and starts doing the sprinkler.
Me too.
I would just love it.
Me too. It would be so awesome because Lacey wouldn't know what's going on either, although she tried to keep up. She was a little... She's not very talented, Bean. I don't know if you know this or not.
Oh, really? She's not as good a dancer as you are?
No. Well, clearly. I mean, Mike and I came up with these dances and she was just trying desperately to hang on.
I see.
So,
I got you.
She may be the stone, you know, the weight around his neck. I don't know.
Oh, that's what you're saying.
That's
okay,
what I'm saying,
you.
Yeah. So
They may eliminate her and keep Mike, is what you're saying.
That's correct, yes. So
I guess you got to see all of these videos from Kevin's visit to the dance studio at kevinandbean.com. You will not regret it. It's very, very funny.
And I'll tell you one other thing. While I was there, I watched him rehearse. And here's the thing about this show. He gets out there and he does these dances. And you get judged on, like, not if you're doing the dance, like you would think, Bean, but, like, is his leg straight enough? And and how is he holding his torso? And I'm sitting there going, he's doing a dance. That's amazing.
Right.
Not that, man. They start with the dance. It's amazing. Neither you or I could ever do this and even look as bad as Mike did. No way.
No, I 100% agree. I know how hard it is. I mean, but isn't it very similar to athletic competitions where an Olympic diver, for instance, the judges are judging, and the way you end up getting the best score is, you know, if your feet are up straight and, you know, the angle that you enter the water and all those things. I mean, there's a million things going on beyond just whatever the primary activity is that you're
doing. So I was sitting there going, wow, I'm proud of Mike. He's learning this dance. That's not what goes through their mind at all.
Right.
And then one other thing is he would do some moves and then she would say, oh, no, no, no. And I would think, what could be wrong with that? And then he would do the exact same move, and she would go, that's perfect. Well, clearly, I don't know what's going on here, because it looked like the exact same thing to me. But
it's a tough room, dude. Yeah. It is tough. I can't believe Mike is even doing this. I can't believe he didn't get eliminated last week when they weren't allowing to eliminate anyone.
Well, all he's got to do is beat one person, and then
that's right.
And then he's through to the next week. And I believe I may have provided him with the help that he needed.
So I hope you're right.
You're welcome, America. 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it is 6:38. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. I forgot to tell you guys what song Mike is going to dance to this week.
Oh, yeah, I know he's doing the Jive. I don't know what song it is.
It's Dancing with the Stars on Monday night. This is his next dance, and he picked a very, very good song, and I think you'll all enjoy it.
I would love it so much if that were true.
Wouldn't that be great?
Please let him dance to the Badger song.
That's our new favorite song.
It's almost impossible to stop listening to.
It is, and yet, you know, it doesn't go anywhere from here.
Nope, you've heard the whole song, exactly. All right. Thanks for listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on a Friday. Next hour, of course, Lucretia reviews last night's Jersey Shore season finale. Plus, Ralph will have the movie beat, and we're going to talk to an actual real-life multi-billionaire, Mark Cuban, who is the first to tell you that he's the luckiest man in the world. But boy, does it seem like he's enjoying his life, doesn't it?
Sure does.
Well, he owns Cuba. I mean, for God's sake, that's why he's so rich. He's got a lot of people living there. They probably pay a lot of taxes.
Come on, Ralph. He doesn't own Cuba. They just named it after him. That's all.
Time for
the showbiz beat now. Here's Ralph Graber. What's going on?
Before I get to showbiz news, I have some tickets to give away to the advanced screening of a movie called Source Code, starring Jake Gyllenhaal and Michelle Monaghan. And boy, does this look good. Action-adventure film opening up everywhere in theaters Friday, April the 1st, but you'll get a chance to see it before anybody else if you're one of the next two callers at 1-800-520-1067. Wednesday, March 30th, we're having a very special advanced screening of Source Code. So check it out. Elizabeth Taylor was buried yesterday in a small private service at Forest Lawn Cemetery in Glendale, California. This works out well because this kept the Westboro Baptist Church from being able to mobilize and get there in time to protest her work.
They're going to protest it.
Yep. Her work as a AIDS activist and a champion of the gay community. So they weren't able to set up their hateful posters and scream bad things. So it works out for everybody.
Overruled!
Overruled indeed.
I'd like to point out again, in their defense, and I know they don't have many defenders, she was trying to help sick people. Okay?
That's true.
That's the reason to show up and try to upset everyone at her funeral.
She was sort of an evil bitch in that way, raising money and trying to help people who were sick.
They spent half of their energy trying to do that. It would certainly help.
Freaking Hollywood with their loving people and helping people. God damn them.
That's right. Literally, that's their message.
Last night on American Idol,
Abrams.
Casey Abrams was voted off the show. However, the judges swooped in and saved his life. Well, his idol life anyway. And they they kept him on the show, so he'll be fine.
Now they kill him now when they're eliminated, Kevin. Wow. It's very tragic. The stakes are much higher this season.
That'd be a great show, wouldn't it?
Wouldn't that be the best?
Yeah.
We have a chair right over here.
And there's like a trap door into a lion, a tiger pit or something.
I like it.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a great idea for a show.
Tiger Pit. We already got Shark Tank. By the way, no sharks
no
in
sharks
Shark Tank.
On that one, you're
I was
right.
So disappointed when I watched that. But the American Idol news really is the fact that the mansion they were living in, you know, the top 12 were all living in that mansion.
Biggest house I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah. Haunted.
What?
Hi, how are you? Haunted. They've moved out of the house.
Are you serious?
Yes. Because the American Idol contestants were seeing lights flickering. Spiders would appear suddenly everywhere, and then someone saw a bed sheet float down the hallway.
Whoa!
Okay, now you're making stuff up.
I am not making stuff up.
That's...
It was either a bed sheet or it was Taylor Hicks playing harmonica. Or Sanjaya with his hair in a wrap.
Describe to Kevin and maybe our listeners who haven't watched the show how big that house is, Ralph.
It is comically large. When you walk into the living room is about the size of an NBA basketball court. I'm not kidding you.
Really?
All marble, big piano in the center, giant staircase on either side that goes upstairs. It looks like a hotel. It doesn't even look like a person's home, but apparently it is someone's home.
Comically large.
Comically large, yeah.
The bedrooms, Kevin, the guys have one bedroom, the girls have one bedroom. Each bedroom has 12 beds in it. That's how big these rooms are.
What? Now, they've been planning this for a long time, right? When did they move into the house?
In the beginning, when they whittle it down to the first top 15 or whatever
okay.
it was. Yeah.
So there must have been enough complaints where they finally just had to say, okay, we'll move you
someplace else. Yeah.
That's crazy.
So they left the house. Apparently, during the heavy rains here in Los Angeles recently, the place also flooded, which wasn't good. So now they're at, I think, a Motel 6 in Pacoima.
Excellent.
That's a step down. Mistaken.
So they be careful what you wish for.
Still 12 to
American
a room,
Idol
though,
contestants.
Right?
Yes, absolutely. Bobby Brown and
guilty.
Whitney Houston. No, he's not charged with anything this week. And Whitney Houston have a daughter named Bobby Christina Brown. She's 18 years old. And apparently, there were photos of her in the National Enquirer showing her snorting coke recently. And Whitney Houston has stepped in to get her daughter off of drugs.
All right.
That's the person you want to turn to if you're looking to someone get someone off of drugs. Apparently, mom is begging Bobby not to let drugs ruin her life.
Like it did daddy's and mommy's.
And has canceled little Bobby's birthday trip to the Bahamas. I'll teach her. Aww. Even took back her brand new Lexus, which was her birthday gift. Apparently, Bobby's now going to have to score in a Prius. That's sad.
How unfortunate to have Whitney Houston as your mother at one time in her youth, one of the most beautiful women on the planet, and end up coming out looking just like your dad.
Yeah. By the way, Whitney thinks Bobby's to blame for her drug addiction.
For hers?
Yeah.
For the
daughter? For Bobby. Little okay. Bobby's, yeah.
Yeah.
Big Bobby and little Bobby.
Yeah.
Bobby with an I, Bobby with a Y.
Sure.
And she's decided that she definitely needs an outpatient rehab program, but no word on whether Bobby Christina will get into that program or not. We certainly hope she will. Or we don't care. I can't really decide. And Mila Kunis has spurned the affections of Justin Timberlake, according to friends. You know, Justin Timberlake recently split up with Jessica Biel.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And then he turned all of his affections and attentions to Mila Kunis, but reportedly she was not interested and has sort of shined him on.
Wow. I didn't think that was legal.
Do you have to have sex with Justin Timberlake?
Can you say no to him?
The moment he requests it?
Yeah.
Well, a lot of women seem to, but Mila's an interesting chick. She isn't necessarily won over by fame or good looks, whatever. She's a little deeper than the average starlet, so maybe that's why things didn't go so well.
She's the one who dated Macaulay Culkin for seven
years,
right?
For many years, yeah. Huh. Mila's a good chick. I like her.
I love her, too. I love her.
I get a chance to hang out with her over at Family Guy when I do voices over there. And she is an enormously kind, sort of well-read, smart girl. Very different from the character she played on that 70s show.
Yeah.
And she's also starring in Seth MacFarlane's new movie, Ted, that shoots this fall with Mark Wahlberg. Speaking of Family Guy, I did it yesterday. I was over there recording some stuff for them, and Judy Greer was in the waiting room.
No kidding.
Pal Judy, and she sends her love, and she said she wants to come back on the show soon. And I said, nope. No, I said she's welcome anytime, of course.
She was so much fun when she came by.
Very
she really
so.
Was. Enjoyed her.
Today's celebrity birthdays, movie critic Gene Shalit is 85 years old today. Aretha Franklin turns 69. Elton John is 64. Marsha Cross of Desperate Housewives is 49 years old. Sarah Jessica Parker celebrates her 46th birthday. What do you get Sarah Jessica Parker for her birthday? I mean, besides a cube of sugar or an apple.
A salt lick. I don't know.
New saddle?
Probably.
Yeah. New shoes?
She needs them.
Lee Pace of Pushing Daisies is 32 years old today. Singer Catherine McPhee is 27 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the Showbiz Beat.
You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on a Friday, and what a show we have for you today, including Ralph with the Movie Beat in moments. Lucretia reviews last night's Jersey Shore. Actress Emily Browning is going to be on. By the way, I heard from some of our listeners who went to the Kevin and Bean screening of that Sucker Punch movie. Said it was amazing.
Love it. Can't wait.
Looking forward to it this weekend as well. Emily is going to be joining us. Michael C. Hall, Kevin, one of your all-time favorites, of course,
Dexter.
From Dexter.
Yeah.
And he's just one of the stars of the new movie called Peep World. We got him on the show. And Petrith Papadakis is going to be in our studio recapping last night's exciting action, the NCAA March Madness, and looking ahead toward this weekend. We're going to have Mark Cuban again here in just a moment on the Kevin and Bean Show. Love that dude. In the meantime, who wants to dance?
Mushroom,
exist, we would have no fun.
Now, we started talking about Badgers on yesterday's show. Ralph had a story in the Showbiz Beat about Brian May, the guitarist for Queen, who was standing up for the Badgers that those in his neighborhood were trying to kill because, I don't know, what were they causing some sort of a problem? Were they eating something? I don't remember what they were doing.
They were giving cattle
TV. Yeah. That's what it was, right? Yeah, yeah. So then we started talking about Badgers, then a listener sent us this song, and apparently we missed this when it was a hot viral sensation a few years ago. Maybe it was before the Kevin Bean Internet Roundup when we didn't look for stuff the way we do now. But apparently we missed it. We were not able to enjoy it all those years ago when it came out. So to us, it's new, and we'll never get tired of it.
Yeah. You watch the video, it's just as effed up. You go, what is happening right there? This guy must be on something. You think this is the only song he does?
Nope.
He's got others. They're all equally effed up.
I don't know if you've watched the video or not.
I have.
It never ends.
Yeah.
You put it on and you go away and 15 minutes later it's still playing. It's a loop.
Is it just that long? How do you make a loop?
I don't know, but it never stops.
It's funny because we saw that Doc had it on in his, you know, in his new studio, and it was on all day after he left, and I was surprised by that. Like, what happened? Why did he just put it on a loop? But you're saying it's that way on YouTube?
Yep. It's or however it's embedded into that website, it never ends. I don't know. I don't know how they do it. I think it's awesome. Well, I mean, I love the song. It is a pale substitute for actually talking to Mark Cuban, however. Apparently, his producer Alex is having trouble getting anyone on the phone to figure out where Mr. Cuban is.
But at least we have plenty of room in today's schedule to replace him somewhere else.
Yeah, if we don't get him now, we're not going to be able to talk to him. Shark Tank is what Mark Cuban would have been telling us about, which airs tonight at 8 on ABC. This is a show where ideas get pitched and then actual people invest actual money to get those ideas made and brought to the marketplace. It's a great show. It's back for a second season, and Mark Cuban is going to be part of that. And we sure would have asked him questions about that, about his association with Charlie Sheen, and about the upcoming NBA playoffs. But apparently, that is not to be today. Way to go, beer mug.
You can play for everything. I was singing this all day yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
But at least I finally know the words to a song.
You're listening to the Kevin Bean Show. Ralph's got the movie beat coming up next. If you're just joining us, maybe the best interview with Mark Cuban I've ever heard anywhere.
Couldn't believe
anybody.
The things that he said.
I mean, all that about the alien abduction and everything and not being from this planet. I mean, it was just crazy to hear the stuff he was coming out with. But wow.
I give all the credit to us because I think we were able to get that out of him.
He's ordinarily outspoken, but you guys really got, I think, beneath the facade sometimes that he has with the press and got down to the heart of the matter.
If you didn't hear it.
Yeah. If you didn't hear it.
Right.
People who did, please don't tell the other people that he didn't call. All right, it's Friday on the Kevin Bean Show. Friday means one thing. Ralph is here with the movie beat.
In a world, someone has been watching. One man who risked everything.
I'm sorry, I have not seen any of your films.
Without seeing the movies. Ralph Garman's movie beat.
Welcome to my world.
Well, if you've got a kid of a certain age in your life, they've probably read the Diary of a Wimpy Kid books, and the movie that was based on that book series was wildly successful. No surprise that a sequel is already in theaters. Diary of a Wimpy Kid 2, Roderick Rules, it's called. And I take umbrage with that title because no one named Roderick has ever ruled anything.
Is he, forgive my ignorance on this franchise, but is he the wimpy kid?
Roderick is not the wimpy kid.
Okay.
Roderick is an older, cool kid that the wimpy kid looks up to as sort of his hero. Hence the Roderick Rules. That's what I gleaned from the trailer, at least. Here's a scene from the film, which, if you have kids, you'll probably go see this weekend. Roderick is teaching Greg the rules.
It's about time, little bro, that you learn the secrets to an easy life.
Rule number one, don't be good at something you don't want to do.
Guys, use clean rags. Give me that.
Rule number two, always lower mom and dad's expectations.
Hey, I took a math test today and I'm pretty sure I flunked it.
Oh, Greg.
But I got it back and look, I got a C minus.
Well, at least you didn't fail.
I've just been told it's his older brother, Roderick.
Older brother.
That's why he looks up to him so much. So, once again, you always count on me for accurate information regarding the movies every Friday that I don't go to see.
Sure.
Peep World opens this weekend in limited release. You're going to have to look for it, but it may be worth it if you're a fan of Michael C. Hall,
or Sarah Silverman or Rainn Wilson. Very talented cast. They all star as a family who are getting together for their father's 70th birthday. Here's the thing. One of the four siblings is an author who has written a best-selling book that exposes the family's most intimate secrets. It's positioned as fiction, but in reality, it's based on their family, and some people have an axe to grind about that.
Small problem with it?
Yeah. Here's a scene from that where Michael C. Hall is being approached for advice.
He treated them condescendingly because he read Norman Mailer did that.
I'm sure you get this all the time. Do you have any sort of advice at all for a young, struggling writer? I mean, I love doing PR work and everything, but in my heart, I'm a writer.
Of course you are.
So, like, any sort of experience at all that you could kind of pass along?
Listen, there's nothing that I can tell you that's going to magically make you a writer. You either have talent or you do not. Writing is something that you are born with. It's not something that you can just pick up, okay? It is not like Spanish.
Okay,
do you understand?
That's not Michael C. Hall at all,
is
it? Not
at all. Not even him. Not a bit.
I'm two for two.
Not a little bit.
Lewis Black apparently narrates. That's good news.
Michael C. Hall.
Just mad at the clip.
He is in the movie.
Yes, but that's not him.
That was not him.
No. I really have to get better information about these clips before I play.
No, this is good. You're dead on.
I know this much. Sucker Punch opens this weekend. Director Zack Snyder. Emily Browning. Abby Cornish. Jenna Maloney. Vanessa Hudgens. What a cast.
No kidding.
Bunch of hot chicks running around just kicking ass and shooting things and chopping things up with swords.
Can't wait.
What more do you need?
Nothing.
It's like a video game come to life. And Emily Browning, she just looks so good in this film. Baby Doll is the name of her character. Here she is outlining the escape plan from the institution that she and the other girls are currently living in.
So, the first thing we need is a map to figure out where all the exits are. Second thing we need is something to start a fire with as a distraction from when we escape. Plus, the fire should disable all the checkpoints. And the third thing is a knife. In case we run into any trouble. The cook. We can do it. And the last thing's a key. Blue wears a key around his neck. What door does it open? It's a master key.
Go, girls!
Wow. That Zack Snyder, man, he knows what he's doing when he's making a movie.
He visually is probably one of the most interesting guys working in film today. So
yep.
Looks like a great, great film.
Emily will be here in about 35 minutes, by the way.
We can ask her what this is about, because I'm still unclear.
There's a lot of exploding and running and jumping.
Which, you got
that's
me right
good.
There. Right.
It looks like she doesn't have a moment in this film, though, where she wasn't acting in front of a green screen. That's got to be distracting as an actor when you're out there and you're just trying to completely imagine what's going on around you. All you really can do, I suppose, is lean on the director because he's the one with the vision and just do the best you can. But this looks amazing to me.
When you got taken out to sea by Sharktopus, Ralph, was that a green screen moment for you? Where you
it
had
was.
To flail your arms around and pretend you were being
They put me in front of a green screen and said, okay, a giant tentacle is now wrapping around you and squeezing you and shaking you.
And how tough was that? Now you're talking about being an actor.
It was wildly embarrassing.
Cut, take two.
I imagine it is.
Well, we were shooting at a harbor that was functioning. So people were walking by, like having lunch and stuff, and I was standing on top of the deck of this boat, flailing and screaming like an idiot.
Sweet.
And people were actually stopping with their fish and chips and burgers, whatever, and just leaning on the railing, watching me make an ass of myself.
No one came to help. They weren't afraid.
It looked like I was having some sort of seizure.
Yeah.
It wasn't like an actual, I was being attacked.
Keep
I was
your
just,
distance, honey.
That dude's acting like an ass.
So you can identify with the characters in Sucker Punch. You probably had to do that all day, every day.
Yeah, but they were cool doing it. I was just a loser in a Hawaiian shirt, screaming and flailing my arms like a lowland mountain gorilla.
That's true. That's accurate.
Yes, it is. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the movie beat.
All that you know is at an end.
That was Ralph Garman. Ralph Garman. Movie beat.
Right now, though, I'm worried. I know we're saying goodbye to Jersey Shore for a little while because they had their season finale on MTV last night. That doesn't mean we're saying goodbye to LaQuisha, though. You're going to stay in touch with us even though you're going to be done with this assignment. Right, girl?
Hell no!
Oh, LaQuisha.
Why don't I talk to you two people?
Well, we like you. We enjoy speaking with you every week. That's
why. That's fine for you. What about me?
What's the payoff for her?
I don't enjoy you in the least.
Now, have you had enough Jersey Shore this year? Are you glad that it's gone, or are you going to miss it for reals?
I am going to miss it something terrible. I don't know how I'm going to spend my Thursday nights without Jersey Shore.
Yeah. It's like losing a good friend, isn't it?
It is. It's like losing a good friend who... Well, not a good friend, but a friend. Well, not a friend.
An entertaining friend.
Someone you knew and didn't care for all that much, but occasionally made you laugh. And last night, I tell you, the Sammy Ronnie situation is heartbreaking.
Still?
These two kids just can't seem to come together, especially last week when we found out that Sammy may have made out with some guy once. And Ronnie, who tried to have sex with every woman in Miami while they were living there, is apparently upset about it.
How many times you hook up with Arvin? How many times you make out with Arvin? Tell me the truth, because he's on the phone right now, and he told me that you guys... No. You're gonna let them finish the conversation.
You're gonna let them finish the conversation.
No, because you got busted.
This is a situation right now.
No.
It's a situation, though, because that's his nickname, so he works that into every conversation, LaQuisha.
Yeah.
Well, Sammy tried the old Kevin and Bean tactic of deny, 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 until finally she's forced to tell Ronnie the truth.
I just want to know the truth. Tell me the truth.
I hooked up with him when I was 21 years old. I'm 23, gonna be 24. It was years ago.
Oh. So that's all you had to say instead of lying to me.
I'm sorry I lied to you.
There we go. Now everything's all better, right?
Fantastic.
No more fights for Ronnie and Sammy.
Right, he sounds like he's not even angry.
Everybody live happily ever after.
Well, that's good.
Or not.
What?
Now, Snooki, meanwhile, is trying to celebrate the end of the summer, this big barbecue they put together, and she decides she's going to dance with this big old fat boy named Jerry, and she loves the way he can move.
Polly's friend Jerry, even though he's like Big Jerry, he can still get it down. I can do the worm pretty good, but I just didn't want my kooka to come out.
No. Since when doesn't she want her kooka to come
Seriously.
Out, by the way?
That's
she has her kooka's always coming out.
That's her goal.
And immediately when she goes home, the first thing she does is cartwheels in a skirt.
Let's practice cartwheels.
Kooka.
Did you see kooka?
Yep.
Are you sure?
Huh?
You can't see it that bad. You can kiss my crotch.
Yes, we can. We've all seen it, and we don't want to see it no more.
We don't even want to see a little bit.
No, no kooka.
JWoww, fine, but
right,
not you.
But no Snooki kooka.
Right.
Now, Snooki, by the way, is giving everybody advice for how to party at the end of the summer.
Good.
Tonight is the night to party. Get it all out. Freaking do every sin that you can. You know, have sex with an old man and steal a plant and then get arrested and then do whatever. Yeah, I'm trying to be sexy. It's not working. Bye.
So have sex with an old man. Check. Uh-huh. Steal a plant. Check. Get arrested. Right. Check. Got it. That's the recipe for a party. Now, of course, while she's at the club, Snooki picks up a stranger and brings him home. And she is very pleased because the gentleman is so drunk, apparently he cannot perform his bedroom duty.
Maybe it was the sight of her.
Or maybe it was the whiskey.
Whiskey is definitely the best sex. It's when a guy can't have sex for like 5 hours because he's so drunk. Or his penis is so drunk.
Yes, his penis got drunk.
Technically, that's
right. Why is that the best sex if he cannot perform?
That doesn't make any sense at all.
It's good for him. Don't get me wrong, if you're with Snooki, that's probably a good thing.
Right.
But I understand why she enjoys it. Well, meanwhile, downstairs, guess who gets into a drunken brawl?
Anyone but Sammy and Ricky or whatever their names are?
No, Ronnie and Sammy
right, them.
Get into a vicious battle.
Get out, you idiot.
I let you act like you're not in love with me.
Get out! You. I hate you. Talk to me or look at me ever again, you idiot. My biggest regret in my life is you.
Ah, true love.
Wow, it's beautiful.
Now, this is it. They are done. They are finished. Until next season, I'm assuming.
Come on now.
It's all over. That was the final straw. They need to be spent some time apart so they can just lick their wounds and whatever else they want to lick.
Yeah.
Right.
Now, at the end of the summer, everyone's packing up to leave. And the whole gang gets together in the living room for a ritual that I hope will become a season-ending ritual every year when they get together at the Jersey Shore.
Oh, is that good?
They all sat around the living room and looked at one of JWoww's little dogs and cheered it on as it pooped on the carpet in the living room. It was a touching moment for everyone involved.
Bella! No!
Yeah, buddy!
Oh, yeah! Oh.
Yeah, buddy.
Oh, yeah.
Right on the pillow.
Yeah, good girl.
Are you sure they weren't talking to Snooki?
No, it was a dog. Right. I know for sure.
You don't remember this, LaQuisha, but the West Wing ended the exact same way in the Oval Office.
I do remember that, yeah.
Yeah.
Martin Sheen took a big dump in the Oval Office,
yep.
Didn't he?
Yep. I didn't realize it was going to be a trend in all of television, though.
Well, Snooki says goodbye to all of her roommates, but like in The Wizard of Oz, there's one she's going to miss most of all.
The hardest roommate to say goodbye to in the house is definitely Jenny. Jenny is my boo-boo. I slept with her feet every single night, and I'm going to miss her so much.
Slept with her feet?
Is that code?
What?
What does that mean?
I don't know, but her feet should get tested.
No kidding.
That's all I know. She should get some kind of panel of blood tests to see what her feet now got.
I think she should skip that and just cut them right off.
Now, what's going to happen with Snooki now that the show is over? What are her plans? Well, you'll be happy to know Snooki plans to run for president of the United States in 2012. So get your Snooki 2012 bumper stickers and buttons ready. Here's Snooki's platform.
After I run for president, Dina's going to be my vice president. I would get done in this country. The economy would rise. Everyone would be tan. Woo! And all the radios would play house music.
Yeah!
I like that being tanned is second on her list.
Economy tan music. Economy tan music. I can see it now on the floor of the Republican National Convention.
I might vote for her.
Snooki and Palin, 2012. That's the ticket.
ETM, everybody. ETM.
I'll see you boys next season.
Oh, no. We'll talk before then.
Nope.
Oh, come.
Is that Miss Browning in the next room there?
It is.
Yeah, she's here. Oh, wow.
Don't
chat with Ralph.
Don't be all
I'm not
creepy.
Being creepy.
Don't
he's not being creepy, creepy at all. Already.
Well, he's not even here and you're being creepy.
I'm not being the tiniest bit creepy.
But
I was
you're
just
on Creep Road, and we don't want you to go down it.
I'm not on Creep Road.
He's got a house on Creep Beach.
He does.
Ralph, she's not only in Sucker Punch, she's in Sucker Punch with your boyfriend, John Hamm.
I know.
So much love in the room right now.
There's not enough love on the screen. Did you hear about their sex scene that got cut?
Oh, we got to talk to Emily about that. That's outrageous.
Crying shame right there.
That is bogus. We may have to boycott this movie as we promote it and tell people to go see it. We may have to do both at the same time.
I don't think you can.
I don't know how we're going to do it.
No, you're going to say go in spite of the fact that scene was cut.
Emily Browning is here. We'll talk to her next on The Kevin and Bean Show. Michael C. Hall next hour as well. Right now, Ralph's got the showbiz. Pete, what's going on?
Before I get to showbiz news, how about if I give away a trip to see the hottest new show in Las Vegas? And no, I'm not talking about Celine Dion's return.
She's returning?
Apparently she is, yeah. Now, this is called Absinthe. It is being described as Cirque du Soleil as if performed by the Rocky Horror cast. It is a trippy, psychedelic, wild carnival slash circus slash acid trip performance that is getting rave reviews in Las Vegas. It's all happening at the Caesars Palace Hotel and Casino. If you'd like to go and check it out, I've got not only tickets for the new show, Absinthe, but I've got hotel accommodations and dinner for two at Caesars Palace.
Wow.
I'll be giving it all away to caller number 12. Right now, 1-800-520-1067. Just be caller number 12 and you get to go to Vegas and see the new show, Absinthe. How about that?
Oh, that's such a big liar.
No, I'm not such a big liar. And you can go to absinthevegas.com for more information about the show if you'd like to check it out next time you're in town. It is on.
What's on?
The battle between George Lopez and Kirstie Alley. I don't know if you heard about this recently, but on his late night talk show, George Lopez, in his patented hilarious style, did a monologue about the Dancing with the Stars cast. And he may have stepped over the line a little bit when it came to Kirstie Alley, when he talked about what a good job she did for a pig.
Rah, yes!
She did a nice job, her little hooves tapping away, he said. Before the show, she went to the market. Then she had roast beef, and this is her going all the way home. And then he played that Geico commercial where the little pig's in the backseat going, wee,
right.
Wee.
At least it's not funny.
See what he did there?
If you're going to call someone fat, be funny.
At least he was insulting and then wildly not funny on top of it. He took shots at everyone, but that was pretty much the most vicious. And Kirstie Alley, as you can imagine, wasn't too pleased.
Here's some chocolate, Fatso.
She demanded an apology, and George Lopez did apologize. Not on air, mind you. via Twitter. He said, I misjudged the joke. No malice was intended, and I apologize to Kirstie, he tweeted last night.
No malice was intended.
Well, that wasn't enough for Kirstie.
Uh-oh.
And she tweeted back. This is my favorite. I don't need or want your apology. I want your kidney, dude. On behalf of your ex and all the women you've insulted, give it back.
Sweet.
See, because famously, George's ex-wife donated a kidney to keep him alive when it was found out that he was actually banging hookers after the fact. She gave him an organ. He was giving his organ to other women, apparently.
Yeah.
And so Kirstie took a swipe at that, which I thought was very, very funny.
Did he tweet back, nuh-uh?
He didn't.
Or anything like that?
But I will keep you posted on the hotly contested Twitter war going on between George Lopez and Kirstie Alley.
How is George Lopez going to get anybody to side with him or root for him in this battle?
He won't. How's he going to get anyone to watch his show, more importantly?
Or read his Twitter.
Yeah.
Hey, did you run into Kirstie Alley when you were at the Dance with the Stars studio this week, Kevin?
I did, actually.
You
talked
her?
To her out front. I didn't talk to her, no. What am I going to say to her?
Well, knowing your love for Scientology, I thought you guys would sit down and try to get clear together.
No.
But maybe she'd give you an e-meter reading.
I was the opposition. I was there to help train Mike.
That's true.
You can see the video that's true. KevinandBean.com.
Yeah, you don't want to conspire with the enemy as you're leaving. You don't want to give them any. Was she eating when you saw her?
Oh, she was not.
Come on,
Beans. I would consider her big now, but not fat.
She's lost a ton of weight really quickly.
Yeah.
And I think she's 60 years old or something like
she's
that.
She's 60. Yes, it's unbelievable.
What? She's 60?
She looks fantastic.
Wow. Did you run to Ralph Macchio while you're down there at the studio?
No, just her. Just walked past her and I went, yeah, we're going to kick your ass. I'm on the team now.
Are you? I didn't know that.
No, I'm not at all.
You're the corner man? Yeah. You're Mike's cut man? Looking forward to seeing the big battle. Well, sad news for some people. Will Arnett will not be the new boss on The Office.
Oh, that would have been so good. I love him.
Has been announced that Will's already attached a star in a new Lorne Michaels TV series pilot starring Christina Applegate. They will be co-starring in a new comedy together. So he's already got his plate full when it comes to work. So we don't know still who's going to be the boss on The Office.
It wasn't perfect, but his last series, Running Wild, had a lot of potential and I think could have been saved.
Ooh.
I do.
Really?
He's so good and What's Her Face is so good.
Ooh.
You think it was dead on arrival?
That hurt. It was. That show hurt.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. It had a lot of promise, but then it never delivered.
That's all I'm saying. I think there was something to work with there, and I'm sorry, as usual, to see them bail on something before they, you know, give it a shot, but. I love Will, and I'll watch whatever he does next.
And Snoop Dogg is having troubles. Apparently, he's got a deal to promote a brand new alcoholic drink that could be banned before it even goes on sale.
All right.
Snoop has already shot a commercial for Blast. It's a drink called Blast.
Okay.
It is made by the people who bring you Colt 45.
Excellent.
It is a cocktail with the alcohol content of 12%. And comes in the following flavors: strawberry lemonade, raspberry watermelon, and grape. Who could this be targeted towards?
What beverage
would have Snoop in a commercial and have 12% alcohol grape-flavored drink? Well, they're afraid it might be the youth of America. That's why it could be banned.
Ah.
New York City Councilman Robert Jackson doesn't want the drink to hit stores because he thinks children could easily assume it's a fruit drink. And then the next thing you know, they're passed out in their cribs, or literally their cribs. I don't mean like, you know, they're Snoop cribs. I mean like they're little kids. They're in a crib, and they're passed out all drunk on Blast. So no word yet whether Blast will make it to stores or not.
See how they come at black people?
It's unfair, Snoop. I agree. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Movie critic Gene Shalit is 85 years old today. Singer Aretha Franklin is 69.
Talk about someone who's lost a ton of weight. She's lost like 90 pounds in the last few months, Ralph.
I haven't seen her recently.
Crazy.
Well, she was hospitalized. She had some pretty serious health issues there for a while, so.
Not enough.
It's probably a good thing. Elton John.
Sorry, Kevin. What?
What was that? George Lopez? What'd you say? Elton John, 64 years old today. Marcia Cross is 49. Sarah Jessica Parker celebrates her 46th birthday. Lee Pace from Pushing Daisies, another series I liked a lot that got canceled not too long ago. He's 32. And from American Idol, singer Katherine McPhee celebrates her 27th birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
You are listening to the world-famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ at 7 minutes after 8 o'clock.
We've been talking about it all week. We had director and co-writer Zack Snyder on the show earlier in the week, and now we're excited to say from Sucker Punch, ladies and gentlemen, Emily Browning has joined us in studio here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Emily. How are you?
Not bad. How are you?
Very good. Thank
you. It's a big day when your movie finally comes out after something you've worked on so long, so hard, and then you've been out, you know, promoting it so much, and now it's finally here. It's like getting ready to open a Christmas present.
It is indeed. It's very, very exciting.
Well, is this a, I mean, you've been in the business for a while now, but when you get the call from Zack Snyder, when you go in the audition, you get a movie with him, and it's Sucker Punch, you got to go, wow, this is a whole new level to my career, right?
Yeah, absolutely. It was like nothing I've ever done before. It was crazy.
Now, what happens in this movie? I've watched all the trailers, and I've seen everything, and I still have no grasp of what's going on. Is it all in your mind? Is it not in your mind?
Well, I don't know. See, it's funny.
You have to spoon feed the dumb ones.
But it's funny because people are like, I've seen the trailer, mm-hmm. and I don't understand the story of the movie. It's
right.
like, yeah, because the trailer's not supposed to give away the whole story of the movie.
Well,
because so many trailers do that
that's
now, and
the
it
problem.
Kind of annoys me.
We've been like, trained that all the funny moments or whatever
right.
are going to be in the trailer. Yeah,
yeah, it's funny. But no, it's a story. It's an action, adventure, fantasy film. It is about five girls in an insane asylum in the 60s.
Okay.
They band together to escape, essentially. And as opposed to it being sort of a straight narrative and them just escaping within that real world, they go into these fantasy worlds where they battle dragons and zombies and, you know, that sort of represents the battle in the actual world.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
Not really.
Well,
if
no.
you see it.
No, listen, I want to see it, but
it's
just
a fantasy, you know.
It just sounds like I can't tell if they're actually going to get out at the end. They're just crazy and mentally out of control.
You're going to have to
watch it. That's what's good about Zack Snyder.
That information costs you $10, Kevin.
Exactly.
You don't get that information for free.
If I give you $10 now, will you tell me?
Maybe later. Off air.
what was it like, and I don't know if you had experiences like this before, where you're working on a set with so many other women. Was it...
I haven't really had that experience before.
Was it competitive, or was it nothing but pillow fights in your underwear, or what?
Well, no, it wasn't competitive in the slightest. Oh, jeez. This made me nervous.
So it was pillow fights in your underwear, got it.
That's what it was. No, it was, it was like, kind of, we became like sisters, you know? We were fighting, we were training with Navy SEALs together, we were bleeding and sweating together, and so we kind of just became like family instantly. It was pretty amazing, actually.
Abby Cornish is a really good actress. Vanessa Hudgens, I understand, is all grown up now. Jenna Malone, Jamie Chung. I mean, it's a great cast. Ralph, our movie reviewer, was talking earlier. Of course, he didn't see the movie, but he still gave it a big thumbs up and told people to go see it.
Good to know.
He was talking about how it looks like there may have been a tremendous amount of green screen acting opposite nothing, and how difficult that must be for particularly a young actress. Was that the case?
Well, there was a lot of green screen. You know, the worlds were all green screen, but thankfully, whenever we were fighting against these creatures, they were stunt guys in green suits. So we did actually have something to fight against.
You were fighting somebody, but just they can't be seen.
Yeah,
gotcha.
So they were in front of us, but then obviously they became robots later in the post-production process.
Were you amazed when you started seeing the finished film, the pieces that you got to see once they'd done the digital and special effects to see what it all looked like?
I was especially amazed because Zach is so protective and was like, I don't want you to see it till it's perfect. So I didn't really see anything until I saw the final film a couple of weeks ago. So I was completely blown away by the visuals and the finished
product. Were you impressed with you?
I don't know about that. I was okay.
Did you have to really learn to fight? Like, if I came at you, could you choke me out like this now because of this training?
Yeah, man. I totally could.
Nice.
We trained for 3 months, 6 hours a day, 5 days a week.
Six hours a day, five days a week for 3 months.
It was intense. We trained with the stunt guys doing sort of mixed martial arts and sword work. And then we trained with Logan and Dave, who are Navy SEALs, and you know, they were sort of teaching us to
they got such
lift
a good game.
Weights and such, and they taught us our gun training, and so, yeah, it was very intense.
The Navy SEALs are like, what are you doing today? Well, just training to cast a sucker punch. That's all. What are you doing?
I see Emily Browning on UFC 135. That's what I see. All right, let's talk about this story that I'm sure you've been asked many times.
Oh,
the headline of the article is, Emily Browning's sex scene was sucker punched.
Uh-huh.
What happened? This is you and John Hamm, I guess, had a moment that's not in the movie?
First of all, it was hardly a sex scene. It was so, so mild.
That's not what we want to hear.
I'm sorry. No, it was so raunchy.
Thank you.
Unfortunately, it just didn't quite make the PG-13 rating.
Did you make out with Don Draper?
I did indeed.
And how's that?
On my birthday.
Nice.
Yeah.
Wait, it's, and how's that being asked? Like, ooh, I'd like to know what that's like.
Look, everyone listening, I don't care what sex you are, how old you are, you want to know what it's like to make out with John Hamm. Come on.
Okay, honestly, we were in front of a camera, and just as every love scene is, it was just weird and
for
awkward.
You,
and
yeah, it was just work. You didn't enjoy it even a little bit, Emily?
Well, no, I mean, I don't know. We kind of had it. We were just making fun of each other the whole time. I don't know. I would tease him for being really old. He would make fun of me for being a child. It was just, and there's cameras like in your face. I don't think that's ever sexy. It's just weird and awkward, it's to be honest with you.
Too many people standing around watching you to be able to really enjoy it, I
guess.
Really,
it's strange.
So it's mechanics. Strange. It's just like a fight scene, really. It's just you got to remember, what am I supposed to do? Where do I, put my hands? Where do I lay? Whatever it is.
Yeah, something like that.
So you don't see a career in porn ahead of you, as that seems bad. All right.
Not so much.
Just checking.
To be honest.
That's a question we ask everyone.
Okay, good.
Standard question.
It's interesting to hear the way you describe it. Just didn't make it in the movie, because the story that I heard was that it was in the film, and then there was some sort of problem with the ratings board, the MPAA people or something had a problem with it, and then they tried to edit it and whatnot.
Yeah. There were...
It was good enough that they were going to rate it R.
Yeah, pretty
okay.
much.
Okay, all right. Then you're underselling it.
I mean, it was an issue. I mean, I suppose, I don't really understand, to be perfectly honest with you.
Well, none of us do.
But
the ratings board.
Yeah, well, it's just weird to me that you can see so much violence and you can't. People are so freaked out by sex. But
that's
anyway, that's
is.
Just my opinion.
Is it like that in Australia? By the way, is it similar in terms of the ratings of the movies? Because I always wondered, because we get the impression, living in America, spending almost all of our time in America, that in other parts of the world, they're much more open to and receptive to those sorts of things than we are here. We're kind of puritanical.
Not so panicked by it.
Yeah, right. I mean, it's somewhat similar. I think we're a little more freaked out about violence and a little less freaked out about sex, but there's not much of a difference.
Not much of a difference.
Not really.
Will this be a huge deal for you when this movie starts playing at home and you go back to Australia to promote it?
Yeah, it'll be a huge deal just because I'm bringing like my whole family and all my friends to the premiere, and it's a movie that I'm finally like, it's always weird to see yourself on screen, but this is so different. It's me fighting, so I'm pretty proud of it, and I kind of can't wait to show my little brothers. They're going to think it's awesome.
Yeah.
See,
hard
I am
is
cool.
It?
I told
That's
you.
That's pretty much what it is, exactly.
How hard is it to basically move to the United States to act and leave everything you know behind?
Well, I mean, I technically still live in Melbourne, in Australia. That's sort of where my base is. That's where my cat is. So,
God, your cat's got to be hungry by now.
Seriously. No, she's being babysat. I'm still back there all the time, but I don't know. I like to travel. I like to move around a lot. I get bored if I stay in one place for too long. But I always see my family a lot, so it's all good.
The movie is called Sucker Punch, opening everywhere today. Actress Emily Browning is with us. We'll return more after this on The Kevin and Bean Show. Michael C. Hall is TV's Dexter. He's also in a new film called Peep World. We'll talk to him coming up in about 10 minutes or so here on The Kevin and Bean Show. But don't go see Peep World until you've seen Sucker Punch. That's what I'm saying, right,
exactly.
Emily Browning?
See both.
Completely agree with
see
you.
Both, oh, but see sure. Sucker Punch first because
Sucker
Emily's
Punch
here.
First. Right, and then when we talk to him, then we'll say see Peep World first. But see them both.
Emily
see Sucker
is,
Punch twice.
Yes. Is here. She is awesome. She is beautiful. She is talented. She is Australian, and I think I love her so much. But if you're like us and you haven't been able to get the gist of Sucker Punch, Kevin, I think you found the perfect clip that really kind of sums up, it crystallizes what's happening in the movie into one short soundbite. Am I right?
Yeah, here it is. I'm in.
Good times.
I'm
good
in.
Times right there.
I love Jenna Malone's fight sounds. They are the best. She makes the best noises when she's fighting.
I hear that you got to keep the samurai sword that Baby Doll uses in the movie, but you're worried about having being able to get it back home.
Okay, don't even get me started on this. It's been through customs like 3 times now, I think, and it keeps coming back.
Really?
Like,
they say, no, we can't take this because...
Australia's not particularly fond of weapons, which I understand, but I'm just going to frame it and put it on my wall. And it's
And you tell them that, and they go, yeah, okay.
Well, they've tried to send it a few times without me, like, because every time I go to the airport, I just don't think it would be great for me to carry
it. It's not a good carry-on.
No,
yeah.
It's
they might have a problem with that.
It's not so great. So, but now, maybe after the movie's out, Maybe I should put on a blonde wig and go to the airport and be
If you put on...
Oh, there you go.
If you put on the wig and they've seen the movie, you'll
then
get the sword.
I'll be home free.
Yeah. Can you FedEx it home? Can you do that?
I don't think so.
Like not take it on an airplane.
I think that's maybe what we've tried to do, and I don't think we're allowed to do that.
That's weird.
I know.
Let's talk to Kevin Amin, Asian listener number one, Paul Lee, who's on the phone with us right now. Paul emailed me this morning, said he saw Sucker Punch last night, and he is having, in his words, a nerdgasm. Paul,
excellent.
First of all, say hi to Emily, and then tell us what a nerdgasm is and what's going on.
Don't.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi, Paul.
A nerdgasm is that this hits... If you're any kind of nerd or geek, this hits every note. It is the best movie with a dragon in it. It is the best movie with martial arts in it. It's the best anime movie ever. It's the best movie with a mecha in it. It's spectacular.
Wow, thank you so
much.
Hey,
take it easy, Paul. We're glad you like it, but take it easy.
I don't know where to start with that. I mean, you said in the email to me this morning that it was one of your all-time favorite movies ever, and that just makes me think you're Kevin and you're just easy, and whatever the last movie is you saw is the best movie because it's the only one you remember.
How dare you, sir, loved it that much, Paul?
Yes. I mean, to be honest, I had my doubts. I thought it was just going to be a big shoot 'em up, you know.
Hey, there's nothing wrong with that too, Paul.
Right.
All right.
But it was great on every level. The story is incredible. Like, I didn't think it'd be the kind of movie that I'd walk away thinking about again and again, and I have to see it again.
Oh, listen to this. Awesome. Wow. Now, were you lying when you said you're going to build a baby doll action figure, which is Emily's character, out of Legos? Is that really what you're going to do next?
Please do.
Absolutely.
That would be amazing.
He's a very talented artist, so it'll probably come out well.
That would be amazing.
I'll send you a picture.
There you go.
Please do.
Paul, you brought up in your email also, you brought up the soundtrack. Tell me about that.
Well, she sings on three songs on the soundtrack. Her voice is amazing, and I wanted to ask her if she had any plans for a recording contract.
I don't know. I mean, I think that's a dangerous path to be the actress slash singer.
You could be hated like Gwyneth Paltrow if you decide to get a recording contract.
No, don't say that. I think she's great.
You have to. It is a tough road to go, though, because everybody goes, actress, all right, she's going to try and sing. I mean, I
would feel like a phony getting a recording contract when all I can do is sing. I'd need to, like, learn to play an instrument first and actually
write some songs.
Yeah.
Oh, that's exactly. So 20th century.
I know, right?
How did it come about that you sang three songs in the soundtrack if you're not a singer? Is it just something Zach asked you to do?
Pretty much. I put myself on tape singing, and I sent the audition to Zach. I've never sung in my life before.
That one of the things that he asked for?
That's one of the things he asked for. And I wanted to do this movie so badly that I did it.
What song did you sing on the audition tape?
I sang Killing Me Softly because he's like, it needs to be like a soul kind of song. And so I was like, okay, that's kind of the only soul-ish song that I know all the words to. I clearly sang the Lauryn Hill version. So I sang that because he originally wanted a musical number at the end of the film where all of the girls sang. And we recorded that, and I'm sure you'll see it on the special features of the DVD.
Oh, neat.
But it sort of didn't make the story... test audiences didn't really quite understand it, which makes sense, you know, the fact that there's a musical number at the end of an action film.
Sure.
Yeah, it's not Bollywood. Come on.
Yeah. So then Zach was, the other songs came about because I was speaking to Zach one day, and I told him that the Smiths are my favorite band. And he's like, oh, that's cool. I know Morrissey. I was like, yeah, of course you do, because you're the coolest guy ever. And then a couple of weeks later, he was like, I have the rights to a Smith song. Do you want to sing it? And so I did.
Fantastic.
And then we did another song, and then we did another song. So it sort of just happened like that.
We have the soundtrack here. What do you have a clip from, Kevin?
Sweet Dreams. And this
Eurythmics.
Yep.
Sweet dreams are made of this.
Nice. Good, Emily. Wow. You almost make me forget the Marilyn Manson version now.
Which was better than the Eurythmics, by the way.
Paul, did you have another nerdgasm while you were listening to Emily sing?
Totally.
Oh, wow.
All right.
We're going to let you go.
I think so. Thanks, Paul. Have a great weekend, man. Thanks for listening, as always. All right, Emily, we are out of time. Your last chance to woo our listeners to go see Sucker Punch this weekend. What do you want to tell them before we go?
I don't go and see girls kicking ass. It's something that you unfortunately rarely get to see, and I think we do it quite well. So
there you go. That's it. Girls kicking ass. That's what they should have just put on the poster.
Yeah, pretty much.
Thanks so much for coming in. We really enjoyed it.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks a lot for listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on a Friday. We've been saying for years, Duke sucks. Last night they proved that it is true. We got a complete recap of last night's action and this weekend's NCAA basketball games happening with our friend Petrith Papadigas. That's coming up here on the Kevin and Bean Show. First, though, one of our all-time favorites. Always so much fun to have Michael C. Hall on the phone. Of course, he is Dexter and also is one of the stars of a new film called Peep World opening up everywhere today with a fantastic cast. Michael, welcome back to the show, my friend. How are you?
Thank you. I'm very well. How are you doing?
Very good. Thank you.
Great. Always great to talk to you. We talked to Rainn Wilson a couple days ago. He was awesome. Sarah Silverman's in this movie. I mean, what a great cast and what an interesting concept for a movie. Tell us about it.
It's about a family, four siblings, the youngest of which has written a very, very successful, like Oprah's book club level successful novel, which is ultimately a tell-all about the deepest, darkest secrets of his three older siblings, and they're all dealing with the fact that this book is out there in different ways. And the movie culminates in this birthday dinner for the patriarch of the family, played by Ron Rifkin, all the you-know-what hits the fan.
Sure. Ron Rifkin, was he the evil Sloan on Alias? Is that the guy I'm thinking of?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, he's awesome. He's an awesome actor, too.
He's great in the movie. He's great. Yeah, he's fantastic.
Now, do I gather because you and Rainn Wilson and Sarah Silverman are all the kids that you are playing a very funny group of siblings from a family?
Yeah, I mean, it certainly has its dramatic elements, but there's a lot of room for comedy within the context of the movie. And if nothing else, being on set with them was a blast. I mean, there's so much fun, so much laughter, such like sort of irreverent kind of joking around. Everybody was messing with everybody else, but everybody surrendered to it, and it was fun.
Is it different than the set of Dexter? Because on the set of Dexter, obviously, it's a much more serious storyline that you're telling.
Yeah, I think it's different from the set of Dexter because of the story, and also, yeah, I guess maybe our Dexter cast isn't populated by
right
people who are as broadly comic, you know, just as people.
And you're not covered in blood in this one a lot, I'm guessing.
No, I managed to get through the movie without ever, spoiler alert, without ever encountering a dead body.
All right. That's nice. By the way, talk about comedy. I laughed out loud when I heard this clip that we have from Peep World. If you don't think Michael C. Hall is funny, check this out. You'll love it.
Austria is actually really famous for their children's clothes. Huh.
And Hitler.
He was German.
Austrian.
Are you serious? He's German.
He was born in Austria, Sherry. Look it up.
Well, they're famous for children's clothes as well. Oh, so I can't eat that. I'm a vegetarian.
Yeah, Hitler was a vegetarian.
Jack, if I have to hear one more thing about Hitler, I am going to lose it.
That's awesome. Now, why? I've seen the trailers for this, but I'm not sure I understand yet, Michael, why it's called Peep World. Because I think of Peep World as being one of those adult movie theaters that you go into and watch things through the thing, you know?
Yeah, the Peep World title specifically comes from the fact that as far as the deepest, darkest secrets that have been revealed about Jack, the character I play, mm-hmm. it's the fact that he secretly frequents a peep show.
Oh.
And I think they called it Peep World because they like the title, and I guess maybe it represents, everybody's secret that's been revealed and that everybody's taking a peek at.
Wait, you're saying that your character doesn't want to brag about going to one of those peep shows?
Yeah, he's not proud about it. It's weird. I mean, usually you go to those places and everybody's patting each other on the back for being there.
Exchanging phone numbers.
Yeah, just like
taking photos.
Better than us.
you work so hard much of the year on Dexter. I imagine in whatever free time you have, if you decide you're going to make a movie, I imagine you're awfully particular. It seems like it would be tough for you because I'm sure you get a lot of offers. I mean, you really have to think hard about how you want to spend your off time because you have so little of it, I would imagine.
Yeah. I mean, we have a pretty significant, amount of time off. So, but it's sometimes hard just logistically, scheduling wise, to find things that work. But I suppose while doing Dexter, I've been attracted to characters that are maybe a little less remarkably afflicted, a little more just like an average person who's maybe in remarkable circumstances.
Yeah.
So that kind of thing appeals to me, and this certainly, People World certainly fit the bill on that front. And I don't know. I mean, I think a part of it is just the material. There was something about this script that really appealed to me. And when I found out the group of actors that they had put together, it was something I felt like I had.
Where are you in the calendar year of Dexter? Are you already back at work to start?
We're not. We're actually go back. The writers have already returned and are working hard. And but as far as principal photographer, we start that late May, May 25th.
Michael, I would like for you to move that up. Is that possible?
Yeah, I know.
It's too
I
long
the fact
between.
That we do 12 episodes makes it feel as if you're waiting almost basically a year.
I love that show so much. And then it comes and I watch every episode. I'm like, yes, yes. And then it ends and I go, no, another year.
Yeah.
But the amazing thing is, again, we're talking to actor Michael C. Hall on The Kevin and Bean Show. He's always very generous with his time when he's got a new project, and this one is called Peep World in theaters today. The amazing thing about Dexter is that every year when it ends, we think, well, that's it. They're out now. There's no way they top that season. There's no way they come back and look for a new angle, especially as the noose has been tightening and tightening on how close he's become to being discovered as a serial killer. Sorry, folks. Spoiler alert. I always think, how are they going to ratchet up the tension next year? And that's why your writers have got to just be some of the best in the business and be able to keep all those balls in the air.
Yeah, I know. I mean, we based the first season on a book.
Right.
But subsequent seasons haven't been, and it's all just smoke and mirrors. I don't know how they do it.
Well, I got to tell you, after I saw the first season, I was like, there's no possible way you can top this. They just have to quit now.
Yeah, that's how I felt.
I'm glad I was wrong, but, I mean, you know, it's a tough task.
I thought, we wrapped the first season, and I thought we should just stop.
That was so good, we might as well just quit.
And now we're starting the sixth. Oh.
Well, the movie is called Peep World. It looks very, very funny. It's got a fantastic cast. Ron Rifkin, Michael C. Hall, Rainn Wilson, Sarah Silverman, and young Ben Schwartz is playing the guy who writes the book. And please definitely go see that this weekend. And I hope we get a chance to talk to you again when we get into Dexter Land. But, Michael, have a wonderful summer if we don't. And thank you, as always, for your time on The Kevin and Bean Show.
All right, guys.
Thank you. Bye now.
And around, it filters through.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it is The Kevin and Bean Show. It's 8:55.
Don't bogart that
not
joint.
Not quite there yet, Ralph.
Oh, sorry.
Hey, listen, if you get a minute today, stop by kevinandbean.com. It's always worth checking out. There's new stuff every day, but in particular today, because there's an awesome video of Kevin and Beer Mug going down to Psycho Mike's rehearsal studio for Dancing with the Stars. And Kevin, I guess you were trying to step in to try to help him because he performed so poorly Monday night. You've got some tips for him on how to be a better dancer for this week's show,
that's
right?
What it appears happened. Yeah. But it's all been a diabolical plan from the beginning.
He's got a tip for him.
You have to lower people's expectations. Then if he comes out and he's like, drooling on himself, they go, oh, hey, he's better. So I think it was a good plan, and I'm part of it. Thank you.
Well, they shot some video, and you see Kevin giving Mike all sorts of suggestions on how to improve his dancing. And Mike invents the new dance called the Charlie Sheen that I think you definitely are going to want to check out. So that's all at kevinandbean.com. Check out a series of videos. Plus, Lacey Schwimmer, his dancing partner, kicks him right in the neck. Too, so that's worth checking out.
Hits him.
Yeah, punches him.
Yeah. Awesome. Sweet.
Petroth Papadakis joins us after the top of the hour. Now Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
We need a new policy.
Okay.
That maybe Dave the King of Mexico not so much gets to talk to our guests.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Was he talking to Emily Browning?
Yes.
Oh, no.
I'm working in the other room, and they're in the hallway after he takes a little photograph of everybody, you know, we like to put up on the website. And she's trying to get out of here, you know, and you know, she's walking down the hallway, and he's behind her, he's like, so, have you ever held a wombat?
He didn't say that.
Because she's from Australia.
He didn't say that.
He actually stopped her and said, oh, have you ever held a wombat?
No, he didn't.
And she's so sweet and polite. She's like, no, I haven't. I've held a koala bear, but I've never, you know, held a bear. Oh, they're my favorites. I would go to Australia just to hold a wombat. They have a wombat at the San Diego Zoo.
At this point, you
should
have taken
it 4 times to see it, but every time I see it, he's just like sleeping in his wombat pen. He's not even active. I'm like,
wow.
Why don't you do something, wombat? I'm like, oh. It'd be like asking someone from Boston, hey, how about those baked beans? I bet you eat a lot of those baked beans. How are those? Just because she's from Australia doesn't mean she's got wombats in her house.
Nor does she want to know how much you love wombats.
No, of course
not. Come on now.
It was just.
That didn't happen.
It was just.
Dave's not allowed to even look the guests in the eye anymore.
Wow. I thought we got through this without Bean creeping her out.
Right.
We don't need Dave holding under her foot as she's
without
trying to
Bean creeping her out. Kevin is the one who tried to force her into a career of porn.
So I guess that career in porn is off, huh? That porn career or what?
That was the most cringeworthy moment of the whole interview.
Yeah.
That was pure comedy.
For who?
Me.
Not for her, I can tell you that much. It was poor creep out for her.
Kevin, the interview killer!
I'll tell you.
Are you going to be in porn? I guess you're not going to do that porn stuff I want to see you in, huh?
Here's the thing, though. At least that had an ending to it. Dave is still out there running down the street.
If you could have a wombat, what would you name him? What room would you keep him in if you had a wombat? I love wombats. He's like, I love turtles, kid.
Oh, man.
Poor Emily's trying to get in her car. Dave's hanging on her pants legs.
So sad. Made me sad. Just saying. Sorry, Emily. Elizabeth Taylor was buried yesterday at Forest Lawn Cemetery in Glendale, California, which is good news. Because that means
she was dead, right?
Well, yeah. Yes. First of all, it's good to bury the dead, but also it meant that the Westboro Baptist Church, that infinitely hateable group from Kansas, wasn't able to mobilize in time to get to Los Angeles to protest at her funeral as they announced they would. They thought Elizabeth Taylor was a bad person because, of course, she helped raise money and take care of those who were inflicted with AIDS, and she was a friend of the gay community, and of course, the Westboro Baptist Church thinks that's the downfall of the United States. So it was good. She got in the ground and boom. See you later, Fred Phelps and family.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're the worst.
Turns out she had to be buried so quickly because she was Jewish. Well, not born Jewish, but she converted to Judaism when she married one of her husbands.
Which one?
Todd.
Oh.
Michael Todd, I think his name was.
He's the one who died in the plane crash.
Plane crash, yeah. Maybe perhaps they say that the real love of her life. But converted to Judaism. For him.
And I guess you're supposed to be buried as quickly as possible.
Yes.
Always within 3 days, but within 24 hours if possible. And that's what they were trying to do with her. So.
Right.
Good Had the you. Added benefit of screwing over that yes. Fred Phelps.
So everybody wins. Charlie Sheen may have dodged a bullet, according to Us Weekly magazine. The actor chose to stay away from his twin son's second birthday party, even though his soon-to-be ex-wife, Brooke Mueller, was begging him to come home. It turns out that Charlie felt like she was trying to set a trap for him because she had a restraining order against him and then suddenly asked him to show up at the party, so he chose to stay away, which some people thought was a little hard-hearted, but it turns out his instincts were right. Turns out she sold the photos from the party to the tabloids and was promised a bigger payday if she could get Charlie to show up at the party.
That's despicable.
Wow.
Yeah, she's bad.
And how bad are you at doing it if Charlie Sheen, in his current condition, can see right through it?
Yeah, really.
I mean, come on.
Wait a minute. Not winning. Duh. Not coming to your party.
That's ridiculous.
Speaking of hot messes, Lindsay Lohan in the news. Apparently, she wants to play a zombie on The Walking Dead.
Me too.
She's a fan of the show, looking for a little bit of a career comeback, so she would like to play a zombie, do a little cameo as a zombie on The Walking Dead. If you've ever seen her coming out of Ledoux, by the way, about 3 o'clock in the morning, you know she's been rehearsing for this role for some time.
Let me just put that in.
Her mom, Dina, by the way, says that Lindsay is going to drop the Lohan from her name and will be known simply as Lindsay.
Oh, my God.
For show business purposes.
Every time her parents open their pie holes, it's bad.
It does get worse and worse.
And it's funny, Dina's probably saying that, you know, to try to be a slam on Michael Lohan is like she doesn't want that name because that's her dad's name. Hey, she may not want that name because that's her mom's name, too.
Word.
Let's think about that, Dina.
Word. To your mother.
Most people have one bad parent, maybe. Never two. I mean, that's a curse right there.
It's hard to be Lindsay.
She never had a chance.
I feel bad for her. There's two other kids there, too, by the way. You got Allie, and then you got the kid, the son.
Oh, boy, yeah.
All right. Hey, tomorrow night, 10 o'clock p.m., up at Universal City City Walk at the John Lovitz Comedy Club, me and my old buddy Adam Carolla are going to be doing a little comedy show called Hollywood Babylon. We'd love to have you come. It's a good time. You can go to babylonralph.com for more details and to buy tickets, but we'd love to have you come out and see us. Plus, there's booze there.
There's that.
What more do you need? And great nachos.
booze, nachos, and laughs.
There you go. Today's celebrity birthdays. Movie critic Gene Shalit is 85 years old today. Singer Aretha Franklin turns 69. 69! Musician Elton John is 64. Bet he wishes he was 69.
You want to take that back right now?
Yes, I would.
Put it in the file.
Actress Marcia Cross is 49. Sarah Jessica Parker is 46. And Catherine McPhee from American Idol. And, of course, my boudoir. She's 27 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
March Madness in full swing. The guy to keep us posted on what's happening is our friend Petros Papadakis from the Petros and Money Show.
Let me flip out my bracket here.
All right.
Okay, I'm good. What's cracking?
How you doing? How you doing, Pete? Great to see you, my friend.
What's popping with y'all?
Here's what I like about Petros is he interrupts his own introduction so that he can get out the bracket.
No, I'm sorry. You know what? I've been a little distracted because I got one of these things. Well, Matt got it for me. I don't really know. What would you call this?
It's a tablet.
Yeah,
a smaller iPad.
View pad or something that Matt got me.
Right.
And I've been playing Angry Birds.
Yeah.
And I actually, I'm not lying. It's awful, but I was in a little traffic on my way up here. You know, we all live in Los Angeles.
Sure.
And I was playing it in a car. And then I kind of got stuck at a couple
red
lights. Yeah. You know, like the light would turn green and I'd still be trying to blow S up. But it's wonderful.
I think that's cool. I think the Highway Patrol would be fine with that.
Oh, you know what? They know me from the radio, so usually they just let me ride. But it's just a wonderful game. I mean, I've never had anything like this before. This Angry Birds.
Look,
And I love birds.
I know
you love anger. Yeah, that's, I mean, it's right up my alley. It's like they invented the game for me.
There are a few things in the world that make nothing but sense to people who are in. Like Lost, the television show, is a perfect example. People who had conversations about Lost, they understood what they were talking about. It made sense. It was camaraderie. Everybody loved it.
You don't know about Angry Birds, Bean?
No, let me finish. If you weren't watching Lost, it sounded like the stupidest thing in the world. You couldn't believe that people were wasting their time on something so dumb.
I just couldn't believe that guy was still fat. You know, he's on an island for like 3 years, and he's just still a fat ass. It's like, wouldn't he get skinny?
That's how Angry Birds talk sounds to people who don't play the game. It sounds like, how can you care about this game?
I didn't know what it was, but I was on a plane in New Orleans, and the dude in front of me was playing Angry Birds, and I stuck my face between the seats, and I was just watching it like a movie, like an in-flight movie.
Yeah.
It's kind of cheering a guy on and stuff. The guy was kind of a douche, but I was watching the game, and then I kind of got into it.
Now you're stuck in the Angry Bird vortex?
A tablet, and I'm enjoying the Angry Birds.
Yeah.
Now, Kevin, you've switched to Fruit Ninja, though. Isn't that your game now?
Yeah, we're going to be talking about this Fruit Ninja. They said I can play Fruit Ninja on the elliptical because I don't think I could play the Angry Birds on the elliptical because it's too much bouncing around.
Now, Fruit Ninja you could.
Yeah, that's what Alex said.
Yeah.
And Dave, the King of Mexico, when he wasn't talking to that girl about the wombats.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, I love wombats.
He was really doing that. That happened when I came in. I didn't really know what was going on because I came in, there was a bunch of dudes with like posters outside, and I was like, what do those dudes want? And then I was walking by one of those, that's Petros Papadakis. And I said, well, yeah, but you guys aren't here for me. And I think they were there for the girl that was here.
Emily Browning?
The lovely lady from the Sucker Punch movie.
Yes.
And then I came in and I was like, well, that must be her, but couldn't be her because she's talking to Dave, the King of Mexico, about wombats.
You know enough about radio that you should have taken Dave down at that point.
Not me.
Yes, you should have.
That's not my job. I'm playing Angry Birds. You were lucky I was walking. I didn't run right over both of them.
All right, P, if we could turn your attention away from the Angry Birds into the tournament. Did you watch any of the action last night?
I did, and did you see my boy from La Mirada, Derek Williams, the whole enchilada from La Mirada? That's
Derek
my nickname,
Williams.
And no one is catching on.
That's
with
a great nickname.
It's the best nickname ever, and Vern Fatass Lundquist did not say it last. I love Vern Lundquist. That was a great call, too, with him and the governor, Bill Raftery,
You're going a little fast for our listeners. Derek Williams plays for the Wildcats. He's with the University of Arizona.
He's from La Mirada High School here in the Southland.
Right. 32 points, 13 rebounds. It was unbelievable. It was like watching two different teams come out against Duke, the current national champion. What happens? Explain that to me if you can, P. How can it be a close game? In fact, I think Duke was even up at the half. How does the second half start and they just get obliterated like they were an unranked school? What happened?
For the Lapers, one team started to make a lot of shots.
Okay.
Their confidence grew.
Right.
It's kind of like if you're an ugly guy and you get one hot chick, other hot chicks will start having sex with you because they're just like, wow, look at this.
It's a momentum thing.
Right. So that's what happened with Arizona. Arizona is a really talented basketball team, and they got on a roll. And they jumped on Duke, and they're in Anaheim. Duke's all the way across the country. There's a lot of U of A fans here in the Southland, no question about it. Most of them are annoying, wearing Miles Simon's gamers, extra medium, like white guys with fat white arms sticking out of a basketball jersey. But I was really happy. happy because, you know, I worked for the Pac-10, soon to be Pac-12, and I was really happy to see Arizona do that. The Duke guys were just shocked. I mean, they're crying on the bench.
Well, this is what surprises me because Duke is, I mean, they are the national champions.
They're the best.
They have
they're the cream
experience.
Of the crop.
They've been through all of this before. It's hard to imagine they could be so rattled.
Well, the tournament is cruel like that. And the basket was just huge for Arizona. I mean, they were not missing. And it wasn't just Derek Williams. All their guys were really responding. And it just kind of got on a roll and got away from Duke. And that can really happen to anybody. And the tournament is really cruel like that. I mean, you're going. You're the defending national champion. You're Duke. Everybody loves you. You got straight A's. You're good looking. You were the president of the school. You were Iraq and the Model UN. And then, bam! The whole enchilada from La Mirada just knocks you out of the tournament, and you're crying on the podium after the game, and that's what went down. But Arizona's now got UConn on Saturday, another fabulous Big East team. Duke is ACC, but another fabulous East Coast team.
Right.
And we'll see if they can keep it continue the same thing. In the words of Sammy Sosa, we're going to keep it continue the same thing.
What will Coach K do now, and is there anything to the rumors that he might be the next coach of the Los Angeles Lakers?
No, I think he would have taken that job. If he wanted to be in the NBA, he would be in the NBA already. Coach K is just not the type of guy to leave. He's one of those institution type of guys. He's never leaving Duke. They love him at Duke. He does whatever he wants at Duke. He can get whoever he wants in, whoever is the best player in the country that's a good kid is going to go and play for him. And look, they got overwhelmed, and that's just kind of what happens in this tournament. Pitt was a big favorite, and they went out. It just happens that way. It's a lot of fun to watch. It very emotional time of year, and it's good for me because it keeps the emotion going after the Bachelor's over.
Sure,
I was so upset about it. Yeah, the last time I was on with you guys, I was really upset about the Bachelor.
You were crying, right? If I remember correctly.
I was. Well, I wouldn't say crying. I was choked up.
I was
just kind of like, just a little choked up. Like I feel at the end of the Mighty Ducks 2 every year when they win. Don't you guys get a little choked up? I can't watch Teen Wolf without seeing that last free throw go in without getting a little choked up every single time. And that's how I was with The Bachelor. But I was angry with the choice that Brad Woman made.
Well, he clearly made the wrong choice.
The dumbest man alive.
I'm just kidding.
We all know that.
All right,
listen, we want to talk about the other games. I don't know how Butler got to be so good. Like, that confuses me, and I was really surprised.
You don't
see
like white guys, Bean? But you got against the whiteys.
I don't know. There's just
the whiteys.
They don't play as well.
I know Indiana is sure basketball, and I understand that that's important to those people out there. But it just is amazing to me. They always surprise me. Every time Butler wins a game, I'm surprised. I don't know why. At this point, I should just accept the fact that they're really good.
Embrace Butler.
Plus, Kevin, you know who they beat last night is our Badgers. University of Wisconsin Badgers that we've been rooting for.
I can like the song and not care about the University of Wisconsin, though, right?
Well, that was like the white guy battle of the century. It's like our white boys against your white boys from the Midwest. Who can be whiter? who can look more awkward with a set shot? But it was very exciting. And the Butler team...
The only way to make that game whiter would have been to have Carrie Underwood come out and sing at it.
Yeah, and to be honest, I think it's the Butler Buttheads. Is that... Or are they the
Bulldogs? It's the Bulldogs.
Okay, right.
They should be the Buttheads. That'd be better.
Their coach is a real... I like that about college basketball, too, because the players just kind of move in and out. But it's the bench jockey, the coach, that is really the star for a college basketball team. And the Butler coach is like the most upwardly mobile guy in the world. He looks like a CEO. He's like 34, but he looks like he's 21.
He does.
He looks like Ralph Macchio. He's one of those guys that sleeps in a hyperbolic chamber. And Brad Stevens is his name. And he wears these weird little cerebral guy glasses. And he's just there like, I believe if the angles... He's like the Matt Smith of coaching. I believe if the angles are correct and we can get the ball to one of our white guys at the corner of the key, we'll be able to spot up and set shot and we will beat the Badgers.
He refers to his players as white guys, doesn't
he? Yeah, you white guy. Get over there. Come off that screen.
I like it.
Hey, Whitey.
Petros Papadakis is our guest from the highly listable Petros and Money Show.
Last time I was on, you said I was loud and obnoxious and horrible.
Well, that's all true, too.
It's all true also. Thank you. You're a little bit of everything, P. We'll return to talk more March Madness right after this on the Kevin. Got a beautiful man in our studio right now, former college football star Petros Papadakis on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Thank you.
Nationally syndicated radio and television personality.
Put down the Angry Birds.
I didn't even know we went to break last time. I thought we'd been on the air this whole time.
We have been
playing the Angry Birds.
We have been.
You were thinking the show finally got good. We were talking about interesting stuff for a change.
Two levels. I crossed two levels during that break.
All right, please put it down. Hey, what about the Jimmer? Now, BYU is out. He's the player of the year.
Another Whitey McGee.
We had Andrew Siciliano
on the other day, and he was talking about how the Jimmer is definitely going to go pro. Everybody wants him. He's going to be great. But then I started hearing from listeners who were taking the opposite side, which is that he played in a weak conference and that he's not that good.
No, the guy can play.
What do you think? You think he's got a career? That dude's got a career?
Well, he's definitely got a career.
I loved watching him. Now, he was so much fun to watch.
Is he going to score 30, 40 a game in the NBA? That remains to be seen. But sometimes people are just transcendent, and there's no real reason that they are. Now, Jimmer Fredette, who's from Glen Falls, New York, he's a Mormon kid, but he didn't go on a mission. So he's not married and like 24 like most of the guys on the BYU team.
Right.
That's not a joke either. Most of them are married.
Because you can't have sex outside of marriage, so they marry immediately.
If you're a 21-year-old girl at BYU or a 21-year-old Mormon girl in Utah, you're a spinster. You are. They wonder, oh,
you're
going to
die old and alone.
Maybe we can get her a receptionist job somewhere. I mean, that's really, I'm not kidding. I mean, that's the attitude. And I go back a little with Mormons. I dated a Mormon girl in high school, and I'm not over it, to be honest
really?
With you. Well, not that I still like her. I'm just
Your
really,
wife will be happy to hear
no,
that.
No, I'm just really upset with myself for having dated her and like hung out with the Mormons that whole time. They're really decent and wonderful people, but I like Diet Coke.
Right,
I gotta have a Diet Coke.
You can't
drink soda
caffeine,
if you're a Mormon, right?
Can't do anything.
Yeah,
you can't even pee in a girl's toilet if you're Mormon. Seriously.
What?
Oh, BYU sent me.
Wait, what?
You can't go to the bathroom in the same bathroom that a girl that you're not married to goes to the bathroom in. I was being recruited by BYU at a high school, and they sent me a giant encyclopedia, and I'm like, what the hell is this? The Book of Mormon? I'm not at a Marriott, but it was the rules just for the trip.
What?
Just for the trip to campus, collared shirt at all time, no spitting, no going to the bathroom anywhere, but designated areas, no cursing, no... If you're rumored to have sex at BYU, whether you're Mormon or not, if you're rumored to have sex at BYU, you get kicked off the team.
They don't have to have any proof?
They don't have to have any proof. Wow. You get kicked if you're rumored to drink. But you know the rules going in.
Of course.
Right.
When somebody
like that
signs,
kid who just got busted a couple
right,
weeks
Davies,
ago.
Davies, the guy at BYU, knocked up a volleyball player or was rumored to or something like that. But the point is, this kid can really, really play. Jimmer Fredette is a tough guy. He is also a great shooter. And he's going to have a career in the NBA. Whether or not that career will consist of being what he is in college, which is an absolute rock star, nobody really knows. And things are situational, too. But the guy can play. Just because he's a white guy with a big head and he's Mormon doesn't mean he's not a great basketball player.
It's always a roll of the dice, though, no matter how much they dominate college. It's always a roll of the dice when they get into the
and
pros.
And completely unpredictable.
Yeah. There are some guys that you can predict. The Kobe Bryants, the LeBron James of the world.
Right.
People like that, Kevin Durant, that are just going to be, they're just going to be what they are.
They're the exception to the rule.
Yeah, they are. But you look at a guy like Jimmer Fredette, you know, he looks a little like me. You know, he's a heavy set guy with a giant
head.
You
have to be cruel.
Well, okay, you're right. I'm sorry. He's a heavy set guy with a giant head. He is skinnier than me, but the guy can really fill it up and he's really creative. And even though he can't jump that high, he can hang there.
Okay.
Yeah, it's almost like a special bird on Angry Birds, if you will, that has wild hang time.
He comes back to this.
And then just explodes in the air.
Pull your bracket back out and tell me who's your favorite now that still remains
Duke.
In the tournament.
I'm screwed.
That's what I'm saying. Now that Duke's gone, who do you think now? Who do you like now?
I have more mistakes than there were games. I don't know how that happened.
You know, I don't fill out a bracket. I don't. Because
I thought that was required in your business.
You know, it kind of is, and that's why I don't. Because when you're a sports guy like me and you're supposed to know stuff, and most of us don't know. I know what it's like to be on a team and what it's like inside and what football plays really sound like and how it feels, and I can analyze football.
Right.
But that doesn't mean I know how to fill out an NCAA bracket.
Pick,
so when I fill out a bracket and the receptionist at work beats me because she likes the colors of the teams
Which
that
is
she
always
picked,
the case.
Right. It never fails.
Right.
Then I always feel like, you know, everybody laughs at you and they say, oh, you're supposed to know. So it's not just like Kevin filling out a bracket.
How dare
and screwing
you?
It up. But it's just like, you're supposed to know. You're supposed to know. Like, I went to brunch the other day down by my house at the Trump's place. You know, there's golf course over there.
Okay.
You know, the birther.
Sure.
Donald Trump. And right. I was at brunch and the busboy goes, P, I need a pick right now. I'm sitting there with my wife, you know, I'm like five champagne mimosas deep, and I go, well, what do you mean? I need to know who's going to win. You know, nobody knows it like you. And I said, I have no idea.
He was talking about winning the national championship or
just
a game
that night. I said, I don't know. But I'm going to bet right now. I got my bookie on the phone in the busboy room. And I was like, I cannot help you, Armando.
You're 50-50.
I cannot help you here.
Just name it.
Yeah, and I did. I said Arizona, and guess what they won? So I hope that guy made a little bit of money.
What a lot of pesos, right.
Yeah, it's a hard deal to do these brackets because they're just kids. I mean, when you get up close to these guys, they're 19, 20 years old, and they bounce the ball off their leg, and they cry when they lose. But I will take Ohio State. I think they're the favorite still. Ohio State's good. They got a big, angry guy named Sullinger down low and a wild white boy coming off the bench. They're not a deep team, though. But
Ohio
State was ranked
number one going into the tournament, right?
Yes, they were. Them and Duke, kind of.
Right.
And Duke's out, so take
What's
Ohio
the
State.
Most exciting game of the weekend? There's always one that everybody will be talking about.
I think it just happened. I think it happened last night. And even though it was kind of a blowout, just to see what Arizona was doing and the way they started getting up and down the court and flying around and dunking on everybody's neck, that was pretty damn exciting, especially for a West Coast guy to see Duke go down like that.
Sure.
Classy team like Duke.
Will you and Matt go to Houston? We work from there for the finals?
Oh, hell no.
Because it's Houston?
Oh, hell no.
Houston blows.
Well, I like Houston because it's a city of syrup. You can get a lot of promethazine out there.
Okay.
A lot of lean.
What's he talking about?
Scissor, man.
Scissor.
Oh,
yeah,
I
get
see.
That
I
good
you.
Codeine.
Yeah.
Get that purple drink. But other than that, no, we're not going. But we will cover it extensively on our radio show.
And by cover, you mean mention it before you do the Not Sports Report.
Yeah. The Final Four is an Angry Birds, a lot of fun. Right. I went to a Final Four in San Antonio once.
We've been to it. It's fun.
It's a great time. You guys went to the one in Indianapolis. Were you there?
We
you
went
saw
to
John
Seattle.
John Mellencamp or something?
We were there. We went to Seattle when UCLA
was in it, right?
Yeah.
It is a lot of fun, and people get excited. And there's something pure about the college game and an excitement about the college game with the people involved that you just can't get anywhere else unless you're hanging around here this time. In the beginning of the year, if you hang around Los Angeles, you get the people that come for the Rose Bowl, like Wisconsin people,
sure.
Giant, fat, white people with sweatshirts on. Then you get your college flavor without having to travel.
All right, Pete, we're out of time, as always.
Bless
it flies
you
by when you're in the studio. But thank you so much for the time today. Say hi to Matt. We'll see you soon. All right, buddy?
All right, guys. Take care.
You are listening to the world-famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ at 9:44.
Have a great weekend, everybody. Thanks so much. Thanks for listening.
Showbiz for
a weekend. See you Monday. What? Okay. Here's Ralph Garvin.
I want to give you a heads up. If you'd like to be on television and maybe win some money, the old TV game show Scrabble's coming back.
I don't know that one.
Scrabble? You're familiar with Scrabble the game, though, right?
Sure.
It's a board game, Kevin. It involves words and letters.
Yeah, that's trying to stay away from those.
50 years. You get tiles with little letters on them, and there's a big
big
board. Looks like a crossword puzzle, and then you have to place the letters to make a word.
It's like Words with Friends, except it's in real life.
Okay, I got you.
Yeah, it's like Words with Friends, only it's the game that was based on.
Okay, fine.
Anyway, they're doing a big TV game show. They had one before that actually I was on. And crushed it!
Not a successful game show at all, though, right? Did not translate well to television.
Lasted for a while. Chuck Woolery was the host.
Okay.
And did I mention crushed it?
You did. That's the one thing you mentioned.
Have we heard tape from that game show?
I don't think we played any Scrabble tape. I might have to pull some for you.
Oh, please find that.
Oh, crushed on Scrabble.
We'll be the judges.
What was your big word? Ass full of money on Scrabble. That's all I'm telling you. It used to be back in my starving actor days. That's how I'd make a living. I'd just go from game show to game show.
Mm-hmm.
Just make as much money as I could. On Scrabble? Crushed it!
You hadn't mentioned that.
Yeah, I did.
I would like to do that as a phone topic one day and talk to people who have made the rounds and see who we can find who's been on the most daytime television shows.
You mean games?
I think that'd be really, really interesting.
Like game shows?
Games where you can win money? Yeah.
Game show's kind of a endangered species now. There used to be a ton of them. Used to be on several every channel every day.
Mm-hmm. But I bet we could find some people who have been on, you know, Wheel of Fortune and Jeopardy and, you know, and some of the other shows.
Yeah.
Smarter Than a Fifth Grader.
Yeah. I did Match Game. I did Scrabble. I did Pictionary.
Wow.
I did,
these were TV shows?
Yes. I did Let's Go Back.
That's not, you're just putting together random words now.
Let's Go Back.
That's not a game
show.
We
played the audio from Let's Go Back. It was about trivia questions from different decades. Remember, and that one guy got all pissed off because I kept answering the questions one after another.
Oh, that's right.
He's like, I don't even know why we're still here. I'll give you an answer, but I don't even know why I'm still here.
The drama queen was all pissed off at me because I kept answering.
Because it's a game, right?
Yeah. That's the goal, is to answer as many questions as you can and win as much as you can.
Right.
But you were never on The Price is Right.
I was never on The Price is Right.
That's the big one, right?
Yeah, that's the big one.
That's the home run
right there. I was never on Jeopardy. But I had a pretty good run. Anyway, Scrabble's coming back.
How'd you do in Scrabble?
Crushed it! Scrabble's coming back. It's going to be on The Hub. On Hub TV. I love Hub. Oh, love Hub.
What's Hub?
Hub's where they show Batman. That's how I know Hub.
Right. What else would they show?
The new Transformers series, Transformers Prime.
Okay. I'm out.
This one is for families, though. They're looking for a parent and child combination. You have to be a parent and a child. Kids got it between the age of 12 and 16.
Okay.
Okay? And you have to be a U.S. resident. You have to be willing to come to Southern California or live here and be available to shoot for days late March or early April. So it's right around the corner. If you'd like to get more information, shoot an email to parentchildgameshow at gmail.com. Parentchildgameshow at gmail.com for more information. Scrabble. Crushed it! Just saying. Speaking of competitions, George Lopez and Kirstie Alley are going at it via Twitter. Lopez, on his late-night comedy show, drew an analogy between Kirstie Alley dancing and a pig.
How does he do it?
He was very clever. He said that she looked good, her little hooves tapping away. And then he mentioned that, she was a pig by saying she went to the market, then she had roast beef, and this is her going all the way home. And then he cut to the footage of that Geico commercial with the little pig as the pinwheels out the window going, wee!
See, because that girl's fat.
That's the famous saying about the piggies.
Yeah.
Well,
fat.
He caught some slack, flack for that, rather, and tweeted an apology. I misjudged the joke. He said, no malice was intended. Well, how could you intend any malice when you're calling a woman a pig? They like that, usually. He's got a point.
And doesn't George Lopez misjudge every joke?
Yes, he does.
Was humor intended?
Joke in quotes. Mm. I apologize to Kirstie. She wrote back, I don't need or want your apology. I want your kidney, dude. On behalf of your ex and all the women you've insulted, give it back. Because famously, of course, George's ex-wife gave him a kidney before they divorced once she found out he was banging hookers.
I'd say win or her.
Yes. So I'll keep you up to date on that. Monday night, I can't wait. Psycho Mike once again competing on Dancing with the Stars. Can't wait to see Kevin's influence on him.
Thank you. That's only if things are going south, though. It's just a contingency plan.
Oh, he's putting your moves in his back pocket
in case
he needs to pull them out.
If he feels like he's losing the judges, the crowd, or anything, then it's all that right there. You can see it at KevinAndBean.com.
All right. Looking forward to it. Congratulations to the crew and cast of Fringe, one of our favorite shows around here. Hollywood Reporter says the critically acclaimed show has been picked up by Fox for a fourth season, so we'll get to see more of Walter and Olivia and Peter Bishop and Astrid.
Love it.
And Walternit. Olivia on the other side. It really has become a fascinating show because the more you watch it, you realize that there are no good guys and no bad guys on that show, which is so rare on television to have something that complex going on. Had we started watching the other universe first, they would have been our heroes and we'd be rooting for them. And the other people that we now know as our Peter and Olivia,
they would
Walter,
be the fake ones.
They would be the enemy. They would be the ones trying to destroy our universe.
Are you the alternate Ralph?
No.
Are you here from the other world?
You know what I'm saying. Love that
Yes,
show.
I do.
Tom Cruise has been cast as a rock star in the upcoming movie Rock of Ages, based on a popular Broadway show. And they are adding more people to the cast. Apparently, Mary J. Blige, Alec Baldwin, Russell Brand, and Julianne Hough are all going to be in the film as well. And just added as the band's manager, Paul Giamatti.
Wow.
It's quite the lineup.
Quite a cast.
Amy Adams also stars in this film. So it's going to be out on Memorial Day weekend next year, Kevin. So I know you'd like to have a little heads up so you can circle your calendar.
You're saying 2012?
That's what I'm saying.
Is that before or after the end of the world?
That depends on which end of the world people you believe.
2012.
I mean, the 2012
October.
People is going to be December,
though, right?
It's going to be December.
Okay, all right.
For the 2012 people. And the other people
then.
That we talked about this week say October of this year.
Right, okay.
All right. Today's celebrity birthdays. Gene Shalit, movie critic, is 85 years old today. Singer Aretha Franklin celebrates her 69th birthday. Elton John is 64. Marcia Cross is 49 years old. Sarah Jessica Parker turns 46. And Catherine McPhee of American Idol fame is 27 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Monday morning, by the way, we have Gary Busey in studio.
The real one, right? The real Gary Busey. Not the imposter.
I believe so.
Fantastic. Can't wait.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
I got a taco right here.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
I think I'm going to change my pants.
Roll another one.
The price is wrong, bitch.
Just like the other one.
We're going to try and do that, but it's really difficult to get anything by because they watch us with a fine-tooth comb.
Which is hard to do.
We're watched with a fine-tooth comb, really?
Spectacular. Just spectacular.
I'm not sure what that means.
Even deaf people are complaining.
Nobody leaves until they mount my pole. Who goes first?
It's Friday, Friday. Gotta get down on Friday. Everybody's looking forward to the weekend, weekend.
You just like to hit and quit it, huh? That's how you roll?
But he's right. It's over.
Is that about everything? Anybody else want to be arrested or killed before we wrap this f***er?
One, two.
Let's go home.